Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, okay, let's do this. Good morning, Thursday. Thursday. Wow, look, hey, how are you, Mark, Riley?
I'm fine, man. How you doing?
I'm pulling it together, man. I seem to be not scattered, but certainly a little blasted out here.
No, it's not that you're blasted out. There's a lot of information we got to get done in 3 hours. Let's let the listeners know right off the top. The 9/11 Commission report's coming out. We got the information. We got the goods. You got to listen to us to find out what's up.
What about me, man? I mean, what about what's going on with me?
Oh, okay.
Because I know that some of our listeners, three or four of them, want to know what's going on in Mark Maron's world.
All right, hold it. Let me set this up.
Wait. See, I'm going to address something that happened yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Is that, you know, there's some people out there, there's a conflict, you know. It's like, there's the one guy, it's like, talk about the issues! We're fighting for our lives here! And then there's other people who are like, talk about ice cream. What's going on in the world of Mark Maron? And then there's the people, and this is the people I want to reach out to right now this morning, the people that will tune in for, say, four and a half minutes, and then decide that it's time to email. All right, do me a favor. Listen to the show. Listen to it for more than 12 minutes before you start passing judgment, you knee-jerk, reactionary, liberal putzes. Do me a favor. Just listen to an arc of the show. Let the conversation unfold, and then pass your little judgments. That's unbelievable to me that, like, I'll get these emails where it's just fragments. It's like, did you mention the word Jew in the wrong way? Because that's hateful. It's like, well, maybe if you did, came in at the beginning of the conversation and followed it through to the end before you heard a tone of one word in one sentence that rubbed you the wrong way and immediately went to, that's it. I'm typing an email to these people right now. And also, maybe you ought to, deliberate your time a little better. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is that there is a lot of stuff going on. There is a lot of stuff going on, and I want to mention the fact that of utmost importance is that I'll be at the Laugh Factory Friday and Saturday.
Formerly the Show World.
Formerly Show World in scenic Times Square. Not even Times Square. Port Authority.
8th Avenue, baby.
8th Avenue, Port Authority area.
Yes.
Go to thelaughfactory.com if you'd like to. And I think that today to start the day, and I think someone on our blog is there. And also, bloggers, don't think I'm your puppet. Do you understand? I appreciate everything you're writing.
You don't know anything about learning disability.
I enjoy it. I'm not even going to do that. That was a complete misunderstanding on behalf of a few people that have no sense of humor. But the thing about the bloggers is, like, I love reading it, and I'll read it during the show, but when they start going, Marin, do this on the air, because I know that every time I do it, I empower some guy out there, whether it's Jared in Chicago or Uma Loompa, Oompa Papa, or whoever it is. They, like, as soon as I do something that they tell me to do, they're like, now we have him. Look, he's under our control. All right, now, here's some news. It's a little bit of the information. The 9/11 Commission, it's important, but it can wait. Yeah. Famed astrophysicist Stephen Hawking says, this was yesterday, did you see this? Black holes, the mysterious massive vortexes formed from collapsed stars, do not destroy everything they consume, but instead eventually fire out matter and energy in a mangled form. Who knew? Now, all I got to say is it looks like the black hole lobby finally got to Hawkins. You understand what I'm saying? Black holes had this nasty reputation for destroying everything, so they hired a publicist, and they paid Hawking off, all right? Tell me, Steve, how much blood money is on your hands, man? Come on, tell me. Come on, speak up. What's the matter, jerk? Cat got your tongue? They set him up, man.
So now he's saying that the universe sort of spits stuff back out it doesn't like or something?
Well, apparently black holes, it was assumed that they just sucked things in, right? But now it seems that some things actually come out, though not in very good shape, apparently.
Thing,
yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Black holes spit.
Yeah, okay.
And apparently, also, there is no baby universe branching off, a black hole as once thought. All right, the information remains firmly in our universe. And he said this in a speech at this conference, right? And this was disputed by a fellow scientist who not only believed in baby universe, but had a picture of it in his wallet that he insisted on showing everyone.
This is all very comforting. I just want you to know that.
It is. And And Hawking said at this conference, you know, and I don't know if you know about this conference. This conference is like, it's the 17th International Conference on General Relativity and Gravitation in Dublin. And you know what sucks? I was supposed to do that gig, right? The Conference on Relativity and Gravitation is like the Ozfest of geekdom. You know?
Oh, wow. Everybody's got those little pencil holders.
Oh, yeah.
In
and you know what they say, man? If you can't get laid at the Conference on Relativity and Gravitation, you just ain't trying, man.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying? All right, here we go. Here we go. Now, Hawking said, I'm sorry to disappoint science fiction fans, but if information is preserved, there's no possibility of using black holes to travel to other universes. Bummer, right?
Oh, wow.
But to make his science fiction fans feel better, he added, but there is a possibility that you will get to one day have sex with Xena Warrior Princess. So there's a little concession. And there's one other thing that we do, right?
Very little.
Now, Hawking pioneered the understanding of black holes and the matter-consuming vortexes created when stars collapse. He did a lot of this work in the mid-70s, all right? And the 70s are known as his fertile creative period before he sold out and got really commercial. But
Who is he, Dylan?
Yeah. He has previously insisted that the holes emit radiation, but never cough up any trace of matter consumed. And this is a view that conflicts with subatomic theory and its view that matter can never be completely destroyed. But by far, his most controversial idea was his notion that Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd is an inferior album compared to Brain Salad Surgery by Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Ooh.
This is a wildly discredited theory with virtually no scientific foundation at all. And as you know, Hawking communicates by using a handheld device to select words. It's on his wheelchair computer screen. It sends it into a voice synthesizer, and of course the synthesizer.
See what disabled people can do?
Exactly. The synthesizer would explain his love of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but it certainly doesn't justify it. Yeah. I'm not. You keep hitting this disabled people, and I want nothing better. I want nothing.
Nothing to do with it. No.
I want the. I only want the best for people who are mentally challenged, and I want them to find their place in the world and do whatever it is that they can do, appropriate to their capacity and within the realms of possibility.
Just take the test at the same time as everybody else.
But we weren't talking about physically, you know, handicapped people. We were talking very specifically about type of men. Yeah,
maybe we should go to the 9/11 Commission about
that. Let's do it right now. 9/11 Commission. Here we go.
Well, look, the war on terror, America is looking back and going to look back today on the war on terror. And, of course, our eyes here at Morning Sedition have never left the war on terror. We are continuing to keep you informed about the war Bush says we're winning. It's time for another edition of Terror Watch. 9/11 report is due out today.
Okay.
And the Bush White House is bracing for the fallout from this report. Now, this is not just a question of intelligence and that sort of fallout. The fallout that he's worried about, of course, is political. He's running for re-election.
But isn't there a blame dispersal implementation in place?
kind of like one of those things in the shower to sort
That's
of spread
the Bush blame dispersal system. I mean, like what you were saying is that they've tried to stop this commission over and over and over again in many different ways.
Well, tried to stop it outright. They tried to stop its formation. If it wasn't for some work on the part of a bunch of families of 9/11 victims,
right,
the commission would never have existed in the first place. Then they tried to underfund it,
right,
and essentially starve it to death.
And they tried, and they just came short of threatening Republicans on the committee that, you know, if they were going to, you know, make the president pay, that the president was going to make them pay.
Absolutely.
And so now what you have, it seems to me, and you can, of course, you know, tell me the truth about this, because I'm just speculating, is that now that this blame dispersal system is placed, now that between the 9/11 Commission and the intelligence, the Senate Committee on Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
has, like, justified and proven to their liking that the CIA was incapable and the FBI fell short, that now the blame can effectively be placed on the intelligence community, so the president's breathing a sigh of relief, I would imagine.
And the 9/11 Commission has gone even further and has blamed the Congress, the source of the other intelligence committee reports. They say the Congress has failed as well. But what they've done is blame institutions rather than individuals. It was a safe political thing to do. Otherwise, this, look, as you say, Bush has got a blame dispersal unit. He's also got, should I say, a hate dispersal unit?
Yeah.
Because if this committee had come up with some strong criticisms of this president, you can bet that every single person, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice,
right,
Donald Rumsfeld, John Ashcroft, Tom Ridge, all of them would have lined up to discredit this commission.
Right.
Now, as it stands now, George Tenet's gone. McLaughlin, the magician, doesn't have to really respond to this.
That's right. He said, we don't need a separate, all-encompassing intelligence agency.
You got me.
Because I'm magic. I can see everything. Look, over here. No, there's a dove.
Yeah, right. Now, the report does say, according to sources who have seen it, that the September 11th hijackers exploited, quoting here, deep institutional failings within the American government. And a central recommendation, as you point out, Mark, is for a national intelligence director to coordinate the intelligence community with budget authority over the CIA and other agencies.
So they want to make government bigger?
Yeah, they do want to make up, but here's the part that'll make your head hurt. Are you ready for this?
It's already hurting.
All right, here we go.
The bloggers are already saying, like, you know, but Hawkins, and then there's one guy who has written some cryptic poetry that insists that I read it.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
All right, now, this director that they're recommending, this National Intelligence Director, would operate in the executive office of the president and have cabinet-level authority, but would not be a part of the cabinet.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
But isn't this similar to the systems that they already put in place, like Rumsfeld creating these super secret sort of weird networks of military intelligence?
The Office of Special Plans.
Right, that these are guys that just like to create these little areas where these guys can go do whatever they need, and if necessary, you can blame them.
Well, see, that's what this could ultimately end up being. The other thing you have to ask yourself is...
But no British style.
No MI5, no MI6. But if you have to have a national intelligence director, then what in the world is Condoleezza Rice's job?
Right.
She's the national security advisor. Why wouldn't she be charged if they have to put something together to deal with this? Why not let her do it?
But what about a global, you know, security organization?
You
what
ask
about
too much.
That? All right, we'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
This week at MotherJones.com. Party favors. New campaign finance laws haven't stopped big lobbying firms from throwing extravagant parties at this year's political conventions. The thing is out of control, says one prominent Politico. Find out who's throwing the parties and what they want in return only at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web, plus online access to 3 decades of Mother Jones investigative reporting. Log on now to MotherJones.com because you need independent news.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
Jeff, I'm leaving you.
I can change.
Sorry.
We can go visit your mother. Or she can come here.
Not good enough.
No more Friday nights with the guys.
No.
I'll let you hold the remote.
Uh-uh.
The dog sits in the back seat. It's shotgun for you from now on, honey.
No way.
I'll even stop wearing the clown makeup.
What?
Please. I'll do anything. Just stay.
The NFL starts on Sirius August 2nd.
Okay. New wrinkle. I'll see you in February.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Every NFL game, wherever you are in America, coming this fall on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Do you recognize your children as one of a kind? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Each of your children has unique DNA, unique fingerprints, and a unique personality. They also have different needs from you. One may seek encouragement, the other responds better to affection. In order to meet their unique needs, you need to take the time to understand them. Pay attention to what makes them light up and what seems to discourage them. Take the time to get to know their dreams, talents, and interests. To help you get started, visit FamilyMinute.net for a free customizable chart on your child's needs. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk.
but a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Here on Air America Radio. We're blogging at morningsedition.com. It's nice to see you. Good morning to you, bloggers. I'm not a blog puppet, but I do read.
And a special good morning to all the truckers who are listening to us on Saturday.
Truckers, military people, angry people, angry liberals, and conservatives alike.
We love you all.
Maron and Riley haters, Maron and Riley lovers.
That's right.
I'd like to read a little spam poetry quickly.
Please.
This is the weird poetic fragments at the bottom of spam. I've become sort of fascinated with it. I'll just read this one. Lighthearted. You're not busy. All right.
Oh, that wasn't even haiku. Was
not
it?
Quite. No, these are just fragments. And
fragments.
They're kind of weird and cryptic and interesting.
Can you watch the closing? Would that work?
Right.
You take off watch the closing doors from a Subway ad, and you just have watch the closing.
Yeah, that's nice. That's
Does
nice
that work?
Too. Sure, that's great.
Ooh, I'm going on the blog.
Yeah, yeah. Riley's ripping. Yeah, I think if you just take words out of other things, you know, on some level, if you listen to George Bush sometimes, there are these weird fragments that make no sense.
But yeah.
It's frightening when it comes from the president. So, did you see that video last night of the
Hijackers?
Of the hijacker?
No, I didn't. I was going to look at it actually on the internet this
morning.
It's
mind-blowing because you're sitting there looking at these guys, and you know what they've done. You know what they're about to do. And part of your brain is trying to bend them into, they're completely evil. But you look at the video, they're just guys being searched.
Normal guys. Yeah, and apparently...
It's just mind-blowing.
They set off the metal detectors.
Many times. One of them set it off like three times.
Three times. They searched and they let them all on the plane.
Yeah, because they're like, okay, hold on. It's an X-Acto knife. Wait, that's my box cutter. Yeah, and
that's my straight razor. And
Yeah.
No problem.
It wasn't policy.
And this was at Dulles International Airport, by the way, in suburban Washington. This is not like it happened in Boise International or something. This happened in our nation's capital. That's
right.
The scary part. Now, you know, the other thing that is going to be very troubling, Mark, for George W. Bush about the release of this 9/11 report, and I think this may have been inadvertent on the part of the commissioners, but they assert that Al-Qaeda had closer ties to Iran than to Iraq. Now, that may not seem like much on its face, okay? The idea that, George W. Bush may have prosecuted the wrong war here. Okay, in a case, I guess, of mistaken identity or something.
Yeah, it's like it's either that or it doesn't matter. He would have gone anyways. It seems that from all indications that Iraq, was going to be prosecuted, whether they could link it to anything or not.
Oh, not yet.
There wasn't a real proof that there was a link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq to begin with.
Well, see, this is the thing that's interesting about this. Now, the 9/11 panel is saying, all right, the relationship with Al-Qaeda was with Iran. Okay. Now, Bush has been making noise about Iran. The Israelis have come right down front and said, look, if the Russians sell these fuel rods, we're bombing their nuclear facility.
And Cheney has come out and said, yeah, we had a store there, so what?
Yeah, right. Now, what happens if in a second Bush term, and I hope people think about this.
Man, I haven't heard it quite put like that, and it gave me the willies. I got a little chill at my spine when you said second Bush term,
second war.
It was sort of like, it was sort of similar to hearing, you have cancer.
Actually, it would be a third war. It would be, the father did the one, the first Gulf War, then, of course.
But we all know it's just part of the big third world war, or the final war, or the rapture, if you...
Uh-oh. Well, don't worry. Look, this is a situation where I think people really do have to ask themselves, is this guy preparing to go after Iran? Or if the Israelis do bomb and then, the Arab world gets upset with them, is America going to get dragged into a war here? And that's not to blame the Israelis. Don't get me wrong.
Another war.
Another war. Yeah, because, the war on terror isn't done anyway.
But can't we, Mark, if we're going to really ask that question, can't we assume that given the president's disposition in saying, in saying that, he's a war president, that, it's not working still, Chris. Didn't he say that he was going to go, that Iran was part of this evil axis, and that, that it's been assumed that he had intentions to go to war with all these countries anyways? Well, I mean, is this surprising?
If he didn't, the neocons who have been advising him have.
Yeah.
Now, the problem then is, you know, in what order or on what level do you begin to prosecute? Now, you know, the Bush people have come out and said, look, we will, short of military action, try to intervene in events inside Iran, which means that they will support the people who are opposed to the kind of religious, the Islamic theocracy that now runs the country.
Right.
They will give active aid and support like they did to the opponents of Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela.
Right.
For, you know, some kind of a coup, an overthrow of government, that sort of thing. But what you have to realize is that all of this report, the totality of this report, has made Bush very, very nervous, and I think rightly so, about the impact that it will have on his claim that the world has been made safer during his 4 years.
Not according to Kofi Annan.
No, not according to him and a lot of other people. Witness this exchange between veteran White House correspondent Helen Thomas and White House spokesman Scott McClellan that covers both the commission and the war in Iraq.
Prime Minister Blair took full personal responsibility for taking his nation into war under falsehoods, now under reasons that have been determined now to be false. Is President Bush also willing to take full personal...
I think Prime Minister Blair said that it was the right thing to do, that Saddam Hussein's regime was a threat.
Those were not the reasons he took his country into war. They have turned out to be untrue, and the same is true for us.
Yeah.
Does the President take full personal responsibility?
The issue here is, what do you do with a threat in a post-September 11th world? Either you live with a threat, or you confront the threat.
There was no threat.
The president made the decision to confront the threat.
Saddam Hussein did not threaten this country.
The world, the Congress, and the administration all disagree. They all recognize that there is a threat posed by Saddam Hussein. When it came to September 11th, that changed the equation. It taught us, as I said...
The committee said there was no threat.
As I said, it taught us that we must confront threats before it's too late.
The president doesn't take full responsibility.
The president already talked about the responsibility for the decisions he's made. He talked about that with Prime Minister Blair.
Personal responsibility.
Go ahead.
Blame dispersal.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We're going to have more on that. And coming up, the presidential palm pilot, Sidney Blumenthal, with the Salon.com
awesome
story
salon
of the day.
Piece. Awesome.
And the all-important and equally awesome liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
You work hard and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Today is the day the nation has been waiting for. Details of the 20-month investigation of the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission will be released. President Bush gets the first copy, and a defense reportedly has been prepared by the White House. Neither the Clinton nor the Bush administrations will purportedly be held responsible for any missteps for combating terrorism. Pitched battles between U.S. forces and insurgents have erupted in the Iraqi capital, as well as Ramadi, west of Baghdad. U.S. Marines fighting in Ramadi killed 25 insurgents, injured 17, and captured 25 others. Still unknown is the fate of a half dozen hostages held by terrorist elements in Iraq. The six are nationals of Kenya, India, and Egypt. Their captors are demanding their respective countries sever any business ties with the United States government in Iraq and remove others from their homeland working for Americans in the country. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, Grandma, what you listening to?
Sirius 61 Boombox, Jimmy.
What's a boombox?
Well, it's sort of that old-school party hip-hop like De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Rob Bass sort of sound, and then you mix it up with some breakbeat dance like Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, and Fat Boy Slim.
Grandma, what's a Fat Boy Slim?
I'll tell you when you're a little older.
The new boombox. Check it out on Sirius 61.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. It's gone up again. No, I'm not talking lottery jackpot. I'm talking gas prices. But don't despair. When I come back, I'll tell you how to fill up your tank without emptying your wallet. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark. If filling your tanks draining your funds, increase your odds for better gas mileage by following the Lotto principle. L-O-T-T-O. L, less weight, means better gas mileage. So don't use your trunk as storage space. O, observe speed limits, because increasing speed from 55 to 75 decreases MPG 25%. T, turn off engine if idling more than 1 minute. T, travel when traffic's lightest to avoid stop-and-go driving. And O, operate vehicles at peak efficiency by flushing cooling systems every 2 years, which will also help avoid repairs. Jackpot! I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Again, you know, if you're listening, you know, and you're making statements or sending emails in relation to things we have or haven't done, and you haven't listened the whole time, then don't assume we haven't done it. Dig? You know what I mean? We're covering stuff that's in the news right now. You know, there's people on the blog. It's like, hey, if you guys, why don't you listen for 3 hours a day to see exactly what we cover? And then, you know, if you have an argument about, you know, whether or not we covered something thoroughly or whether we covered it at all, then we can address it. But, you know, we did talk a bit about, you know, many of the things that people complain about. It's interesting. It's like, why am I commenting these people? Why am I choosing to sublimate and, you know, and project my rage and weirdness onto the people out there? There's no reason. I'm sorry. We're moving through the 9/11 commission. I wanted to talk a little bit about, because we kind of blew past it. But some of the security stuff, you know, the airport security stuff, a lot of the stuff hasn't been done. The stuff that they said they were going to do hasn't been done.
Well, not only has it not been done, they don't seem to be of one mind, at least in Washington, about the role that they want the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, to even play in airport security. They were supposed to be the ones that were doing all the baggage screening and the passenger screening. Now they want to pong it back into private hands. How are they going to do that? How are they going to pull all of this kind of stuff together when it doesn't look like there's one mind either in the White House or in the Congress? Remember, they're all the same party. They're all Republicans. The Senate, the House, the executive branch, all controlled by Republicans, and they can't get together on these things.
But it's very odd to me. I was reading this article, you know, about some of the stuff, that the really high-tech stuff, the stuff that the best stuff that they have.
The electronic screening stuff, yeah.
That they can have. It's at these really small airports.
Yeah.
You know, only 8 airports have done it to the max, like where they have these machines that can scan
for bombs effectively with the least amount of manpower needed and do it, you know, efficiently and 100%. And they're Boise, Idaho, Manchester, New Hampshire, Jacksonville, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Orange County, California, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Florida, and Boston is the only one that is a big city. And I'm suspecting that this is because some of these smaller cities were able to allocate some of that Homeland Security money properly because their priorities were not as large as the larger cities, which had more immediate security issues to deal with. So now we've got, like, overly secure airports where they're not going to go.
They're not going, no. Although, you know, Jacksonville is the home of our good friend, Congresswoman Corrine Brown, who was on with us earlier this week. She may have had a hand in that.
Right. Well, right, but it's the proper allocation of the money, but it should be done on a larger scale in the larger city. As my wife says, and she has a joke about this, she says, you know, if they're, you know, worried about the terrorists attacking Boise, then we're really in trouble because that means all the good targets have already been hit.
Hit, yeah, absolutely. And you know, we were talking before the break, Mark, about blame dispersal.
Right.
And how this administration, you heard Helen Thomas get into this debate, I guess, charitable way of putting it, with Scott McClellan, the White House spokesman.
Right.
About the extent to which the president is prepared to take personal responsibility. And she led off that question by asking, you know, or by stating that Tony Blair, the British Prime Minister, did in fact take personal responsibility for whatever mistakes his country made in prosecuting the war on Iraq. This is something that our president has yet to do. And we've heard on more than one occasion President Bush kind of looked to evade if you want to put it in its purest form, simply alibiing
right.
about mistakes he has made and what he's learned. Here is President Bush from an April 13th press conference when he was asked about his personal responsibility. Whoops, I guess
we're making progress in changing the culture of America from one.
All right, we're having some technical difficulties this morning.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
A lot of different ways. Like the Maestro board wasn't working at first, and now have we got that clip there, Chris?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, okay. Let's give it a try.
After 9/11, what would your biggest mistake be, would you say, and what lessons have you learned from it?
I wish you'd have given me this written question ahead of time so I could plan for it.
Take your time.
John, I'm sure historians will look back and say, gosh, you could have done it better this way or that way.
Interesting.
Any day now.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I'm sure something will pop in my head here in the midst of this press conference, all the pressure of trying to come up with an answer, but it hadn't yet.
Why don't you just say,
oh, my goodness.
All right, this board's not working still. All right.
Well, I mean, that's George W. Bush dispersing blame.
Yeah,
that's the man who we didn't elect to lead the country. He is leading the country right now. And this is how he describes mistakes. Now, contrast this with Blair. Blair out and out said, look, yeah, the buck stops with me. If there were mistakes made, I take responsibility for them. We don't hear this president, nor do I anticipate we'll hear in the next couple of days in the wake of the release of this report, anything from George W. Bush saying, you know what? I'm responsible for some of this.
The idiots around him are already starting to talk. You know, it's weird how you get these conflicting messages. Like, here we got something from Missouri Republican Roy Blunt, representative, okay? He says, the report's only of value if we use it in a positive, forward-looking way and not try to get into meaningless blaming. Who could have done what, when, now? That doesn't matter. See, that's a nice thing you would think from a Republican, right?
Yeah.
But then House Speaker Dennis Hastert, the fat bum. Look, he says the report covers 8 years of the Clinton administration and 8 months of the Bush administration. And then while saying he says, but we don't want it to become political football. You know, when these guys are put in a position where they've got something they can point and then they try to act like they have humility, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. The truth of the matter is, it's the night watchman analogy. Look, you know, both of these guys had a chance to hit these guys. It wasn't a priority. The crap went down on Bush's watch. You know, it's that night watchman analogy that Larson keeps talking about. Whereas, like, you know, if you're the guy on the job when it happens, you can't rightly say, oh, yeah, I know that happened, but you know, it was the other guy's fault. You know, the guy you fired, the guy that's no longer here. Or yeah, we saw him. They were, yeah, I mean, I know exactly what happened. I watched them do it, you know.
Well,
I mean, and, you know, and you should keep me here because I know what they look like now.
Well, you know, Hastert is saying that any kind of intelligence reforms are going to have to wait. He's saying essentially that whatever, and there have been a number of recommendations that come with this 9/11 report, that Congress isn't going to act on this stuff anytime soon.
Well, I bet you he politicizes that. I bet you as we get closer to the election, he's going to make some decisions about what needs to be instigated, and then he's going to use it as a campaign platform, because he certainly doesn't have one yet. We'll be back on Air America in a minute.
Jeff, I'm leaving you.
I can change.
Sorry.
We can go visit your mother. Or she can come here.
Not good enough.
No more Friday nights with the guy.
No.
I'll let you hold the remote.
Uh-uh.
The dog sits in the back seat. It's shotgun for you from now on, honey.
No way.
I'll even stop wearing the clown makeup.
What?
Please. I'll do anything. Just stay.
The NFL starts on Sirius August 2nd.
Okay. New wrinkle. I'll see you in February.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Every NFL game, wherever you are in America, coming this fall on Sirius Satellite Radio.
When's the last time you made your spouse's favorite meal? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. And when's the last time you bought your mate their favorite magazine? The point is, doing special things for our spouse shows them we care. It also shows them we're paying attention to what makes them happy. So if you know what brings a smile to your spouse's face, do it. If you don't know, or if you've forgotten, find out. Just ask them. The nice little things you do for your spouse can make a big difference in your marriage. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
The music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. A little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem. Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Yay! Yay, my toy works!
There you go.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm being a boy bitch. I apologize.
Hey, it's working. Let's work it.
I'm sorry for yelling. You guys missed a little Marin, a little Marin.
A Marin meltdown.
A little Marin poopy fit. Unbelievable. That's what we should have on the air. It's me going, I'm about to, you know what? I'm done with this. You know, like running around like a baby. See, I'm too honest is what the problem is. And I forgot to do that. Chris, I apologize to you. I'm blowing my lid in here about my toy. Here I am, like, you know, we're running an important broadcast about information that needs to get out there, and the fact that I can't go
boring
really bothers me. Really, like, that's what my life is hinging on. Not to get the information out to the people to elevate consciousness and possibly take down the Bush administration, but I can't go.
This is kind of stupid.
Really makes me upset. Unbelievable what my life's gone down to. Here's a presidential palm pilot. He came in earlier, but I forgot to do it. Here's the schedule for today. 7 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I'm a peace president until we go to Iran. 9:50 a.m. Sign Law Enforcement Safety Act. Give presidential medal to first 20 cops who ever arrested me for DWI.
12 noon, fly to Illinois. Remember, Lincoln was a great Republican president in spite of that whole freeing the slaves thing. 3:20 p.m. Tour Northeastern Public Training Academy, Glenview, Illinois. Tell the disaster response cops and firefighters that they're so good that I'm tempted to allow another terrorist catastrophe just to watch them in action. Ooh. 3:40 p.m. Speech about Homeland Security to disaster response police and firefighters. Drop this into speech. Quote, I've just been informed that the terror level has been raised to red. Then watch them scatter. Woohoo! 5:35 p.m. Speak at private fundraising dinner. Winnetka, Illinois. Say this, quote, I'm proud to be among such patriotic Americans. Your generosity will help us create some of the most vicious attack ads in history. God bless you. End quote. 8 p.m. Arrive back in Washington. Casually flip through 9/11 commission report. Hey, there's my name. Hey, there it is it again. Well, lots of words. Getting drowsy. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline, quote, warehouse containing all 9/11 commission evidence burns in freak fire. End quote. Hey, wow. There you go.
So we got a guest.
We have got on the phone, this is a very interesting article that I have somewhere right in front of me. Don't I?
Yes, I believe you do.
Washington Bureau Chief Sidney Blumenthal is on the phone from Salon.com, and he wrote a piece about Kerry that I found mind-blowing, and now I'm looking for it in front of me. Sidney, how are you?
I'm well, and I can pronounce Winnetka.
Winnetka!
Big noise from Winnetka.
So this piece you wrote about Kerry is information that really blew my mind, man. Really blew my mind. I mean, I can't, like, I had no idea. Can you flesh it out a little for our listeners? I had no idea that he was even part of the Iran-Contra, let alone the guy who started it.
John Kerry, when he was first elected senator in 1984, came into the Senate January 85, and the first thing that he did was he had a very tough, intelligent staff of investigators.
Yes.
People don't know that John Kerry was a prosecutor. He was the deputy district attorney of Middlesex County in Massachusetts, and he broke the local mob, the mafia, in Somerville. It was very tough.
Right.
And he came in the
Irish mob, right? Or no?
Was it
one of some of those Southie guys, you know, like that crazy Boston mob?
A guy named Howie Winters, actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I used to live up in Boston.
Yeah, I did too.
And he comes into the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and he starts pulling on a thread, and it turns out that it's the Iran-Contra scandal.
Mm-hmm.
He discovers that there's basically an illegal offshore counter foreign policy being run by by Ali North out of the National Security Council, directed by the CIA director, William Casey.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally illegal. They're funding the Nicaraguan Contras by raising funds, selling missiles to Iran, totally counter to U.S. policy on terrorism. They're raising money from the Saudis. And the thing that Kerry finds is that they're raising money through deals with the Colombian and other Latin American drug runners.
Right. And
there's a lot of drug money.
There's a Saudi connection as well, right?
Yes, and there's a Saudi connection. So he starts an investigation, and he is fearless,
yeah.
and his people are fearless. And what happens is that Ali North, obviously, hears about this.
Right.
And he informs the Reagan White House and the Reagan Justice Department. And in 1985, they do their best to destroy John Kerry.
Right.
Just as the Nixon White House tried to destroy John Kerry when he was head of the Vietnam Veterans Against the War.
So John Kerry knows a lot of dark secrets about these guys. I had no idea the depth of it.
He was fearless, and he kept going on. And he found out the truth. You know, the same kind of conservative media that, you know, of today was a little less, but still existed, trashed him and dismissed him. The whole Washington press corps thought he was delusionary and paid no attention to him. But he was on to the Iran-Contra scandal before anyone else. He discovered it. And then he had a subcommittee. They made him chairman of the subcommittee on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the Bush campaign trashing Kerry as not knowing about terrorism. He was the number one person in the entire U.S. Senate who knew more about terrorism than anybody and was onto it at a time when the Reagan White House was blowing the game on international terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered proposal after proposal. Had they been adopted, may well have stopped Al-Qaeda when it came into being. For example, on international money laundering. Now, as it happened, you know, Kerry also discovered BCCI, which was an international banking operation that financed terrorism and drug running, and he blew that up in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy has gone into sort of the inner recesses of the dark side of government and terrorism. He's demanded accountability. He's been somebody who has never, he's had his patriotism impugned. You know, he had the Reagan Justice Department threaten everyone around him.
Hey, Sidney, we got to take a quick break. Can we? We're going to come back and button this up. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Sidney Blumenthal, we'll be back with you in a minute on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Sirius. Oh man, this is cool. I can finally request my favorite song on Sirius. Let's see. 877-33-SIRIUS. Okay, let's press 1 for Sirius. It's 1.
Hey, it's Kid Kelly. Thanks for calling the Sirius Satellite Radio Listening Line. To introduce or dedicate a song,
I'm gonna press dedication. 3.
Yo, what up to my peeps? This is Jimmy from... Yay! Hello! I'm coming to you from Canton, Ohio!
Hi!
Hey, this is...
The new Sirius Listener Line. Requests, dedications, you call it. 877-33-SIRIUS.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be. And exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is, you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
I started hearing voices telling me, "You're dying, you're dying." I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
We're back. It's Morning Tradition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley at Sidney Blumenthal, Salon's Washington Bureau Chief, on the phone. You're talking about John Kerry's little-known past. I didn't know about it. I'm sure some people out there did know about it. But what I want to know, Sidney, is if he's got all this stuff, you know, in his little arrow pouch, you know, why doesn't he start talking about it? I mean, this is important stuff. This guy, you know, helped unfold a tremendous, you know, Republican crime against the world. And he keeps quiet about it? Is that just he's being humble? What?
You know, his people do talk about it, and he has a number of people around him who are incredibly loyal, who've been with him since the beginning, and they do discuss these aspects of his biography. This is a straight line. He's a very consistent character.
Yeah.
All the way from Vietnam to the present. And what's important about this right now is that he's now facing George Bush, who has an unaccountable policy, who has engaged in creating an offshore intelligence operation, as if you will, by abusing intelligence and twisting it in the rationale for going to war in Iraq.
And then blaming the intelligence community.
And then blaming them.
Yeah.
And he refuses to accept responsibility
right.
himself.
Right.
So the relevance of Kerry's record and history is very high right now as he faces Bush.
Before we go, Sidney, one really, really quick yes or no question. Do you think the White House is after Sandy Berger directly?
I think it's very possible. You know, the spokesman, Scott McClellan, who, you know, is a stand-up comic as a straight man, said that they knew nothing about it, and then it turns out they did know all about the investigation in Sandy Berger back in October
right.
in the White House Legal Counsel Office. It's very possible that someone in the White House knows about what I believe John Ashcroft's Justice Department is doing.
Right.
I believe this comes out of Ashcroft's shop.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, Sidney. I really appreciate you being here. It's a great article.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. You take care.
I really recommend you read this if you don't know a lot about John Kerry. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
The link is on our site, thesalon.com. I mean, maybe I'm a little uninformed, clearly, in terms of John Kerry, but this does show how consistent a guy he is. And it talks about his voting record and talks about that these misaccusations of him being a flip-flopper. This is a deep guy, John Kerry, and I'm saying that because I believe it. That's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. 1. Prepare for prepare for next week's convention in Boston. Add to list of banned items at the Fleet Center. Bad vibes. Oh, there you go. 2. Organize support group for pets left behind by Democratic delegates. Explore abandonment issues. All right. 3. Organize Revolutionary War Memorial for unsung Minute Women. 4. Make sure Boston police only use ozone-friendly tear gas during riots. And 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, look for a big surprise Thursday night when President Kucinich speaks. There you go. And sorry, Snooky Bear. Sorry. That's all I want to say.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Mark.
Ooh. You know, it's interesting, some of these things that are going on, and we're going to talk about this more. In the next hour of Morning Edition, more on the 9/11 report, a conversation with a 9/11 victim family member, plus Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the Dream Diary, here on Air America Radio.
Shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
And I had this great DJ spinning. She's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up. And I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling, too. A friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. And she starts convulsing, and call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we're all...
Ecstasy. It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Flex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush told the Washington fundraiser last night that the worst is behind us now. Bush says the next 4 years with him in a second term will be a lot easier. Bush made the statement while raising $23 million for his re-election war chest on the eve of the release of the 9/11 Commission report. Bush says the country's in a safer place under his watch, this despite the ongoing attacks against American troops in Iraq, the renewed fighting in Afghanistan, and the spate of anti-American beheadings in the Middle East. First copy of the report goes to President Bush. Word has it that the White House already prepared a defense. Sneak previews have already been released to congressional leaders, in addition to a few media leaks this past week. The report basically calls for the creation of a multi-agency center to fight terrorism and a single director of national intelligence. Neither the Clinton nor the Bush administrations will be held accountable for any missteps on the efforts to combat terrorism. That decision not to assign blame was deliberate to thwart election year sniping. It seems celebrities coast to coast are lining up to bash President Bush in what's shaping up as one of the nastiest presidential races in decades. Reports say that bashing Bush has turned into an in-vogue celebrity sport, but the pundits say the unsolicited anti-Bush rhetoric is spinning out of control and appears to be alienating both Republicans and Democrats alike. Presidential scholar Doug Brinkley of the Eisenhower Center says the phenomenon of bashing is certainly nothing new to the American culture. Brinkley also says celebrities, especially musicians, are notorious for controversy statements during war times. Brinkley contends that Bush bashing has reached a crescendo because of the war in Iraq. Celebrities have further rallied because of Fahrenheit 9/11. It seems the Democrats are keeping a watchful eye on the impact of Bush bashing. Popular Korean-American comic Margaret Cho has been dropped from a gay political event coinciding with next week's Democratic convention in Boston. Organizers of the John Kerry friendly event were worried that her racy humor would become Republican Party fodder to boost their campaign of painting John Kerry as a Hollywood values candidate. Bush has been quietly pushing the family values issue to campaign stops, trying to undermine Kerry because of his growing support in the entertainment community. Bush administration and members of the Republican-controlled Congress are deadlocked over a tax cut measure, but a White House concession pumped new life yesterday into a separate election year issue, a long-stalled highway bill. Several Republican officials said the White House rejected as insufficient an offer by GOP leaders for a two-year extension of expiring tax cuts for parents, married couples, and workers. The president is pushing for 5 years. Many conservative lawmakers also prefer the five-year plan, hoping for a political boost and an economic benefit. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green? I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh. News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. The Duke boys spent their time running from Roscoe and over curbs. Entertaining for TV, but in reality, they were a hazard. When I come back, I'll give the Dukes an emergency driving lesson.
I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Bo and Luke responded to the call of the wild with hazardous disregard. But here are the real rules of the road when it comes to sirens. If you hear an emergency vehicle's yowl or see red lights, pull over to the right side of the road and wait. If you're already stopped at an intersection, stay put. In any case, yielding right of way to an emergency vehicle is a law, so don't pull a Luke Duke and try to outrun the ambulance. And after an emergency vehicle's passed, stay aware of more that might follow. Remember, an ambulance's wail is sweet music to people in need, so always give them the right of way. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Hey, you guys, good morning. It's Mark Maron here. I already said that on a little pre-tape, didn't I? I forget. You know, I had to do this. This is Morning's Edition. I already said that, too. Man, you know, now they can see right through it. It's transparent. All the smoke and mirrors are breaking. That's Mark Riley over there.
Good morning.
Got a great, great show. We're coming out of a 6 o'clock hour that I thought was a little chaotic, but maybe you didn't notice that. But now I've leveled off. I've had a yogurt and I'm all set. I think it was an acidophilus problem that I was experiencing. I was having a chemical imbalance in my brain due to a lack of acidophilus. Why isn't he talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives. Yeah.
But wait a minute.
We got to.
Before we start,
right?
Where are you going to be this weekend?
The Laugh Factory,
there
all weekend,
go.
Friday and Saturday. For those of you who would like to see my stand-up act, you can come to the Laugh Factory, which used to be the old Show World, right up from the Port Authority. Lovely part of Manhattan that, you know, although it's changed in some ways, some things will never change because it's a haunted corner. But it's a big room. It's a nice room. It's new. Go to laughfactory.com if you want more information and to buy tickets. Later in the show, we have, in this hour, we have Bob McElvain, who is a father who lost his son on 9/11, is going to sort of give his information what how he feels about the 9/11 Commission report and what is being heard about it. I've also got a report in from, where is this, from Louisville, Kentucky. A Republican lawmaker says it was inappropriate for a GOP office to display a bumper sticker declaring, "Kerry is Bin Laden's man, Bush is mine." Primarily, I think, the reason why that's wrong is because it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because the terrorists want nothing more than 4 more years of George Bush. There's like no doubt in my mind about that because nobody has made them stronger than George Bush.
And help them disperse throughout the Middle East region.
Disperse, unite, even ones that wouldn't get along normally are now getting along. You know what I mean? It's pretty amazing. Like, here's something that we have from, this is actually taken from a website, from a terrorist website.
Yes.
The Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigade's website. A word for foolish Bush. We know that you live in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads, which spoiled your world, and we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government, and this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Now, it's pretty clear to me that as far as terrorism goes, not only is George Bush losing the war, but he's making the war more defined. And because of his, you know, religious disposition and his stubbornness, he is really sort of, you know, letting the terrorists wrap their brains around a very consistent enemy in their eyes, and he's scaring the hell out of us.
Yes.
Now, he just signed a multi-billion dollar bioterrorism act, which I have. This is an amazing thing to me that it can't be any coincidence that, you know, within this war on terror, within this, you know, at the core of it is oil. obviously.
Oh, yes.
Money,
yes.
Obviously. You know, defense contracts. So you have military spending, defense contracts. That's one. You have oil added. And now we have welcome pharmaceutical industry. A $5 billion, right?
Welcome pharmaceutical.
Right?
Can you see the sign?
Hey,
downtown,
wait, there's one more group that I forgot to take care of at the expense of the American people. And that's my friends at the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes.
A $5 billion plus, you know, bioterror, you know, resistance shield or whatever he wants to call it.
What is it, saran wrap?
No, he is going to, you know, somehow create a stockpile of antibiotics and anti-disease pills.
Oh, okay.
And medications in case of a vaccines in case of a biological attack, which is fine, you know, if it's going to happen on that scale. But you've got to think that in preparation, who's going to make all that money? Given the fact, on top of that, you know, he's passed legislation that will not enable people to buy, you know, generic pharmaceuticals from Canada.
Uh-huh.
The new Medicare bill, okay, is, you know, is at the whim of the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, you mean the new cards that everybody's supposed to save so much money on, but they're actually going to end up paying more.
They're going to end up paying more, and they're also at the whim of the pharmaceutical industry in terms of, you know, whether or not they can dictate the prices of medicine.
Of all course. Right?
And then on top of this, a $5 billion payoff for whoever manufactures these vaccines and antibiotics. Now, whether we need it or not is not the issue. It just seems to me to be beyond coincidence that the people that are the people, the corporations and the entities that are making the most money out of this war on terror are the oil business, the military business, and now the pharmaceutical industry. And these are the biggest, you know, Republican, you know, money tanks that there are.
Now, here's a question for you.
Okay, I
think
you're
gonna
doubt hear, I can answer it.
Think you're going to hear anything that you just said or see anything that you just talked about in the 9/11 report?
No, I mean, I would say
absolutely not.
What I'm trying to get my brain around now, Mark Riley, and you can educate me as you do every morning, is that it seems to me that because of the weird bullying that was going on before the commission, you know, was set up, where, you know, they did not want this commission to happen.
They didn't want the commission to happen, and proof positive of the fact they didn't want the commission to happen was the fact that Henry Kissinger was going to be the first chair of the commission.
And also, the White House resisted Chairman Thomas Kane's request for additional funds, even though Kane said they couldn't finish the investigation without the money. The White House opposed a time extension for the commission and finally relented, you know, and they didn't want it to happen in the first place. You know, and now we have this commission, and they obviously scared enough bipartisan members of the commission that they would pay politically if they were going to indict anyone with a name,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this thing.
As opposed to institutions.
Yeah, as opposed to the Congress, as opposed to the FBI, as opposed to the CIA. Who in the CIA? I don't know. We don't know those guys' names. Top secret. What? You know, I mean, these bureaucracies and government institutions, I mean, the Congress is being led by the president. The CIA is supposed to be, you know, guided by the president.
Yeah,
the
FBI serves at the pleasure of the president. But here's what we have going on here. These folks made a conscious decision. The five Republicans, I believe five Democrats on the September 11th commission. They decided that they didn't want the report destroyed by charges that it was partisan in nature. And if they brought up some of the stuff that you just talked about, okay, that would have been directly critical of Bush's lack of leadership. Let's be clear about what we're talking about here. A lack of leadership.
Absolutely a lack of leadership.
Okay, well, if that came out, remember that there was a report that said Condoleezza Rice didn't even know what Al-Qaeda was at one point. But if that were to be, if that all that stuff came out in the report, if individuals were blamed, then they would have dumped on the entire commission as being partisan. But here's where I take the media to task. There is no excuse for people saying, well, they weren't critical of Clinton or Bush.
Yeah.
What do they got to be critical of Clinton for? Clinton was out of office, in case anybody noticed, 9 months gone on September 11, 2001.
But if we're going to spin it as they will, even though they're trying to act, you know, humble, which is, you know, something Republicans are incapable of doing, and there's nothing more annoying than to see one of these idiots, DeLay, Hastert, George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, any of them, try to access any sense of humility is to watch a performance of a Pagliacci, of a sad clown, you know, trying to convince somebody of something they haven't got. It's ridiculous. When George Bush tries to act like he has humility, I can't say the word. It's ridiculous. And the truth of the matter is, if we're going to spin it, six of the missed opportunities mentioned in the report occurred during the Bush administration and four under Clinton. And it doesn't matter. You know, obviously no one wanted terrorism to be where it was. And these oversights are, you know, they may be the fault of Bill Clinton, but the truth of the matter is the crap hit the fan when this guy was in office. And if it were a priority to him, it wouldn't have happened. If he hadn't had his eyes on Iraq, it wouldn't have happened. If he hadn't surrounded himself with cold warriors, it wouldn't have happened. And now what he's done is now he's done something amazing, because terrorism was a strange, nebulous threat that could come from anywhere. And because of his unilateral decision, he has now consolidated terrorism to a region that had nothing to do with terrorism before, which is Iraq. There are 20,000 insurgents there, and now he's considering Iran might be the source of it. So if you are speculating in the same way I am, we don't have Russia anymore, but we're about to have a pan-Arabic terrorist state so he can define lines for himself and reinstigate the Cold War. But I will say one thing. In a religious war, there is no detente. There is no, we got the same weapons you do, we can't use them, because it's a God thing. And you can't say, okay, let's agree that both of our gods are going to coexist. No, this guy's gunning for the end times at the expense of secular people and people throughout the world. He's pandering to religious fanatics because he is one. We'll be back in a second. Sorry about the rant.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
What you listening to?
Sirius 61 Boombox, Jimmy.
What's a boombox?
Well, it's sort of that old-school party hip-hop like De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Rob Bass sort of sound. And then you mix it up with some breakbeat dance like Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, and Fatboy Slim.
Grandma, what's a Fatboy Slim?
I'll tell you when you're a little older.
The new boombox. Check it out on Sirius 61.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
To go to therapy today, man. I need it. Between, you know, what's going on in Los Angeles with my house, Now people are going to go, what is going on in Los Angeles with this house? Well, maybe I'll tell you in a little while if you listen through the next hour.
That's right.
But I got to go and dump my dreams. This is last night's was, dude.
Uh-oh.
All right. I hear bells. Huge, tolling, AC/DC, Hell's Bells kind of bells. I look outside. It's the ice cream man. Only it's Bush. He's wearing a paper hat and a white uniform splattered with blood and dark brown chunks. He says, you want to try my new flavor, Peace President? Peace President? The name of the ice cream, right? I try a spoonful. It tastes like moose phlegm and rat carcasses and huge helpings of BS. Peace really should taste better than this, Bush says. Here, try some of the old standby. This is called War President. It tastes like a mixture of blood and oil and the bones of Iraqi children. Sticks to your teeth. He says, hey, can I swirl Peace President and War President together if you want and put in a sugar cone? I say, no thanks. So he tries to feed me tax cuts. Yeah, that tastes bad. It tastes like sweat of the poor on top of rich, spoiled Caucasian filling. Then I had some compassionate conservative. That's a thin layer of sticky sugar that's empty inside. Suddenly the spoon melts in my hand. The sun turns gray. Horses whinny. The sidewalk screams. Bush gives me this evil grin and says, had enough? Just then, the bells start tolling again. Bong, bong. My stomach starts rumbling. I drop to my knees in agony, and my gut explodes in a shower of greenish goo. Out of my shredded midsection crawls hundreds of slimy toads who slither out in all directions. The toads make their way to the swing states, register, and vote. Bush wins only because of the heavy amphibian turnout. I woke up and my bed was filled with young adult bestsellers.
Uh-oh.
What is that about, man? I can't... That one disturbed me. Imagine exploding into frogs. All right, you guys. So we were talking about 9/11, and we were talking about the implications of this, of the findings in this. And the report comes out today in the after... I guess around 11, 11:30, I heard. And we hear, you know... So we're going to hear from Bob McElvain. He lost his son on that day, his son Bobby, and he attended every hearing. So this is a real opportunity to sort of to talk to somebody who has really the most impact on. Good morning, Mr. McElvain.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Dogs, you're good.
How you doing?
How did you feel? How did you feel about the, you know, how the hearings were conducted?
I was never happy.
Yeah.
There were public hearings. I mean, there was a time, geez, back in February, I was the only one there. I mean, the only time you really had any kind of crowd was, of course, Condoleezza and then Richard Clark.
Really?
And, it was good to see the crowds there, hoping that there'd be more publicity about this whole thing. But the commission never really made a big deal of it, and it seemed like it was very intentional.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes it would cancel and then not reschedule. The fact that they had to stay in Washington, and King made the quote, says, well, I don't think we could get the commissioners to New York. I think that's a basic attitude. They're more or less doing us a favor by doing this.
And were you ever notified about these changes? Or were you, because...
That's the problem. They never reschedule. Like, a couple times session, or maybe once or twice, the session would be canceled, and they just wouldn't reschedule it. And they would give us no reason for it. And, it was just a general attitude that, So from the very beginning, you kept, and of course I always had hope, with the Richard Clark thing. It's finally out in the press.
People
are actually seeing, he apologized. And even, I was talking to Renee yesterday, and she said, I think Michael Moore really messed this up in an interview where they talked about Richard Clark and the Bin Ladens and the swords in the country. And this was a big thing to everyone.
Yeah.
Why? Who would get this authorization? I mean, 15 out of 19 were Saudi Arabia. And people keep insisting that Richard Clark made the decision to allow these people to go.
Yeah.
Well, that
wasn't
the case.
Yeah, yeah.
He allowed them to go, but only after going to the FBI. And then the FBI came back to him and said, you have to leave them go. And the point in question there afterwards was, well, who can authorize these people to leave? And he says it has to be someone in the State Department and the executive office.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it wasn't him that made the decision.
Yeah, it came from the top, and this is they don't want to be, they're trying to avoid blame of any of it.
And just a real quick thing on the commission.
Yeah.
It was not an investigation. In fact, because they only gave 5 minutes to each commissioner. So anytime any tough questions might be coming out, King could cut it off. He never gave them any more than 5 minutes. So it's almost like everyone's hands were tied. It was the same thing with the first commission. You know, they had so many people there, and their questions were so limited. So there couldn't be a cross-examination, and it was just like the good old boys' society. You know, everybody suddenly was always friendly, laughing. Here you are. To me, it's a murder investigation. You know, my son died, and I want answers to these millions, if not millions, but hundreds of questions out there. And here they're joking around. They get 5 minutes to ask questions, and they... Of course, the case was Condoleezza Rice. They'd ask a tough question. Ben Venice was going after her. He says, did not the August 6th memo say hijack? And she would just go ranting on and on and on. And then, you know, it was like it was planned because she knew that there was only going to be a couple minutes to ask questions, and that was the case because Keene would never, ever let it get out of hand as far as cross, you know, like a cross-examination.
Mm-hmm.
If someone felt that the witness was not credible, then... he wouldn't, you know, allow one of the members to really go after that person. So, and that was a big-time problem as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is Mr. Bob McElveen. He lost his son, Bobby, in the attack on the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. Mr. McElveen, is who funded the terrorist attacks important to you? I know it's been an issue with a lot of the September 11th families. They wanted to know this. Apparently, the report did not detail much of it. Was it is it an important question to you?
It's an absolute disgrace because of this. I mean, I'll go all the way back to the joint congressional hearings. Of course, the 28 pages that were deleted.
Yeah.
And, you know, a few families sat down with Lee Hamilton concerning that, you know, asking, why can't we get these 28 pages out? And his words were, he says, as much as I would want those pages out, he says, as far as national security is concerned, I couldn't allow those pages to be put in public. Now, what that means, God knows, but I'm sure it's because of the economic ties they have with us. God knows the ties that they have with Bush. I mean, this is the elephant in the middle of the room, the Saudi Arabians. I mean, they knew that they were funding, groups throughout the 90s.
Right.
That they, you know, what, close to $500 million to a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this is still the thing that they refuse to discuss. And that's the underlying problem. That Saudi Arabia was so involved in this, and I think in the report they're going to say that there was no problem with Saudi Arabia. And, of course, we go with Pakistan also.
So on some level, you know, you feel that the truth will never come out because they are not willing to own up to their relationships with these countries and the depth of those relationships.
Oh, absolutely. And that's right there is the biggest problem. So, I mean, you know, we get a little, you know, it's this big cloud that's over everything. Well, the CIA messed up, the FBI messed up, the FAA messed up, but... no one's been reprimanded.
Right, and the truth of the matter is, it was all about business. It was all about business as usual for these guys, and they were protecting that business. And getting back to what you were saying before, I just want to make sure I understand. You were basically saying that whether it was Republican or Democrat, that this whole thing was politicized, and these guys pretended like it was just something they had to do, and they didn't seem that committed to getting to the truth.
I don't think they're that committed. I mean,
right.
You know, again, the Democrats would ask some tough questions.
Yeah.
But again, they only had 5 minutes.
Can you hang out with us a little longer,
sure.
Mr. McElveen?
Sure.
Our guest is Mr. Bob McElveen.
Yeah.
He lost his son, Bobby, in the World Trade Center. And apparently he didn't work in the center. He was attending a trade show?
Yeah. He was supposed to be on the Windows of the World. And so we don't I still haven't figured out the exact circumstance because we did find his body. So I don't think he ever got to the 106th floor or so.
Okay.
But, Merrill Lynch is across the street.
Right. Right. Well, we hope you can stay with us. And, again,
sure.
On behalf of all of us here, our condolences on the loss of your
certainly,
son.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Still to come, more with Bob McElveen. Rapture Watch, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, plus you on the telephone. Stay tuned. This is Air America Radio.
The oil-rich country of Azerbaijan is a brutal dictatorship. But when the Bush administration had to decide between promoting democracy and protecting the interests of Western oil companies, guess which one it chose? Get the full report now in this month's Mother Jones magazine. Mother Jones is an independent, non-profit news magazine. Its reporters dare to ask important questions. They dare to print what others hide. As a non-profit, they're obligated only to the truth. Mother Jones. Strange name for a magazine, but check it out. See what you think on Newsstands Now.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's just a matter of hours now before the long-awaited report by the 9/11 Commission is formally released. Report is the end result of a 20-month investigation. No blame has been assigned for missteps by either the Bush or Clinton administrations. Celebrity Bush bashing is said to be an in-vogue sport right now that is defining one of the nastiest presidential races in the nation's history. Pundits are saying the unsolicited anti-Bush rhetoric is out of control and is indirectly affecting both parties. No word on the fate of the half dozen hostages in Iraq. Each is facing possible execution once every 72 hours unless their respective countries pull their nationals out and sever business ties with the United States government. And time was that Bush strategists thought the debate over who would be a better commander-in-chief would guarantee the president's re-election. A new poll now says that's no longer the case. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Jeff, I'm leaving you.
I can change.
I'm sorry.
We can go visit your mother. Or she can come here.
Not good enough.
No more Friday nights with the guy.
No.
I'll let you hold the remote.
Uh-huh.
The dog sits in the back seat. It's shotgun for you from now on, honey.
No way.
I'll even stop wearing the clown makeup.
What?
Please. I'll do anything. Just stay.
The NFL starts on Sirius August 2nd.
Okay. New wrinkle. I'll see you in February.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Every NFL game, wherever you are in America, coming this fall on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Springtime's full of color and beauty. Red robins, bright blue skies, pollen yellow automobiles. Back up. That's not a good look for your car. When I return, I'll tell you how to beat the birds and bees. Hi, this is Bobby Likas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Unless you drive a taxi, yellow's not your color, especially when it's from pollen, blanketing vehicles, dulling finishes, and making you see red. But don't be blue. If you're allergic to dirty cars and want to protect your ride from bird droppings and bee pollen, treat your vehicle to a spring cleaning. Bathe it from top to bottom and avoid messy measuring with Meguiar's Quick Suds Car Wash Strips. And to really baby your automotive baby, protect it with a car cover made from Kimberly-Clark's Block It fabric. Now spring into action with these colorful hints and tell that robin to bop on along. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, your life.
We're on the phone with Bob McElvain. He lost his son Bobby in the World Trade Center. We're talking about the 9/11 Commission. You're listening to Morning Sedition. So Mr. McElvain, we have commissioners, Richard Benveniste and John Layman, on the show.
Tomorrow.
Is there anything you might want to say to them or ask them?
Anything I want to say to them or ask them? John, if I sat down, I wish I could sit, but a quick question. My question was, why did we leave Saudi Arabia out of this? Why are we trying so hard to protect the president?
Yeah, I
want and both presidents. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clinton, there was a lot of failures with Clinton, and, now they just, I guess because it's a political year, and why do we have to be so partisan? I mean, why can't we have the truth in this country? And to me, the fact that they're not holding them accountable, it's just doing a disservice to democracy, and we're going to be in this secrecy forever.
Mm-hmm.
If things don't change, and their answer is that it's going to be very diplomatic, because I just think it's a matter of like keeping this country together. They figure it's an election year, and they were going to be nonpartisan supposedly, and they're just protecting everyone. Again, it's that big elephant sitting in the middle of the room. Everyone sees it, but no one wants to discuss it. Do you think that comes to Saudi Arabia?
Are you saying then, Bob McElvain, that you think that an honest discussion of September 11th would further divide the country? Is that what you're saying?
Well, as far as they think. I mean, I want the truth. My son was murdered.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and if it's going to divide the country, great. Because, you know, we need more public dialogue. And the one good thing is, at least there is public dialogue. People are, you know, actually saying to me, Republicans, says, you know, he says, people say to me, I've trusted this government all these years. Then I realize that, geez, you've got to really look into these things. That, you know, we can't take for granted what's happening. Right? And if anything positive comes out of it, maybe that will happen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Bob McElvain, there has been, I guess, a lack of focus of American attention 3 years down the road in terms of the loss of life that took place on September 11th. I wondered if you'd speak to that. Obviously, you lost your son, but do you think that people really, I mean, certainly we here in New York City, I guess, because it happened here, it has a different kind of immediacy. But do you think the American people have kind of taken death too lightly?
Oh, there's no question about it, because I mean, I've gotten so involved in so many other things. I mean, death to me, it's such an important thing to me, and I just agonize now from, you know, the deaths all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it means so much to me. I gave up meat, you know, before I was a meat eater. I can't imagine killing anything.
Right.
But that's our biggest problem. You know, we're just so desensitized to what's happening around the world. I think if everyone realized what it feels like to see their child, you know, their head blown off, their arms blown off, their legs blown off, they're atomized from a bomb. I mean, I think about this every day, but the thing is, this is happening to people around the world. This is happening to the civilians in Iraq and Israel, all around the world. I said, this is absolute insanity. We continue politics as it is, and we don't think of these things. People have to look at this and say, this is insane, and we're such a huge part of the death around the world.
Yes.
And our foreign policy. We have to look at this that way.
Yeah.
And so I think about it all the time, and it's just the public's attention spans 2 days. Like 2 days from now, this whole commission thing will be over.
If that,
just forget
if that.
It.
Yeah, we're talking to Bob McElvain, who lost his son Bobby on 9/11. Now, do you think that you'll ever find any peace, Mr. McElvain?
No. Absolutely not.
And you don't think you'll ever be satisfied even if the truth
comes out? Well, I really think history will be cruel to him. I really do, because there's just so many people involved in this. And there's so many people who do want the truth. You know, people writing books or, you know, on the Internet. And
yeah, sure.
I hope history is very cruel to both Clinton and Bush, but mainly Bush, because he goes strutting around talking about what a great job he's done in the war on terror. And I've said it before, and I got in a lot of trouble at a news conference, but I said he failed on 9/11. I don't care what anyone says. It's his ship. If he was working for any corporation anyway, he would have fired immediately.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's...
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's the CEO, so now he's just trying to blame everybody else.
Correct. Well, that's basically what it is, and it's sad, and everyone's trying to protect him.
Bob McElvain, how did you react when you saw or were made aware of the fact that there was an actual video of some of the hijackers at Dulles Airport going through security and apparently setting off the metal detectors, but being allowed to board the plane anyway? Did you see that footage? And if you did, how did you react when you saw it?
I haven't seen the footage. I just saw a picture in a paper in the Inquirer this morning. But, I knew it happened.
Yeah.
And let me just give you a quick story on that in the commission. I forget what the man's name down in Orlando, when Ada came into the country, and he came in with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone applauded him for what a great job he is, because, you know, supposedly the 20th hijacker. But he went the extra measure. He wouldn't allow this fellow to come into the country, right?
Right.
So the commission asked him the question. He says, well, why did you do that job? And others, and here Ada was up upstairs at the time. You know,
yeah.
We found out because he made a phone call to him. But anyway, he says, why did you do such a good job and the other agents haven't done such a good job in letting these people in? He says, well, because we were told to leave the swords alone.
Oh, my God.
Now, the natural progression from that question would be, all well and good, he did his job and no one else is doing his job. But then, who told him to leave the swords alone? And then you just keep going up the chain of command. Then you ask the next person. But, of course, the investigation goes no further than that. We applauded this man for stopping the 20th hijacker, and his statement was, well, we were told to leave the swords alone.
Yeah, and that all goes right up to the relationship with the Bush family and the Saud family.
Well, that's where the investigation goes. You know, the Visa Express came out 3 months before.
Yeah.
You know, that they're allowed to come into the country without a face-to-face interview.
Absolutely.
You know, and so these are things, you know, and it just goes on and on and on, and we're not getting any of this.
Well, Bob McElvain, you know, it was certainly good talking to you, and we're certainly sorry about your loss, but very energized by your feelings about the commission, and we're going to talk to these guys tomorrow. Maybe we'll play your question for them.
Yeah, to ask them, how come I wasn't invited down to their secret little soiree with families? I don't know who's invited to it, but, you know, I didn't miss a hearing. And,
We'll find out. We'll definitely find out. Thanks a lot for joining us. You take care.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You know, he gave us a little bit of news. I had no idea they were doing anything secret for the families. Does anybody else know about it? I hadn't heard anything about it.
Well, apparently they left him out, and I'm sure, you know, because he's so outspoken and because of his, you know, honest anger, that maybe they thought that he wasn't the right guy to ask to come to the party. We'll ask him tomorrow. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. What's on your mind? Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you here on Air America Radio.
Should he be officially nominated first?
Yep, and the Democratic National Convention rolls into Beantown next Monday, and nobody's got it covered like us.
From Sirius Left to Sirius Right.
We've got Sirius IQ live on the convention floor. Sirius Patriot does their duty, plus coverage from Air America and NPR.
Not to mention updates on all our news channels.
Get every angle and every spin on the DNC starting Monday right here on Sirius.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Alcohol. It's a tough topic for parents and kids to talk about. Sometimes you'd rather say nothing, but that's no solution. If you're a parent, talk to your children about alcohol and what you expect of them. Then listen to what they have to say. And be sure to use alcohol responsibly yourself. Good parenting is the best defense against underage drinking. Use it. To find out more, contact the National Clearinghouse for Alcohol and Drug Information at 800-729-6686.
Okay, it's Thursday morning. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron with my friend Mark Riley.
Good morning.
866-303-2270 is our phone number. Looks like we have some people calling right now. I'd like to go into this. Since the handover of power, how come every day I can't get those same two words out? Is my brain... since the handover of power. We're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 25. Leaders of Iraq. Wow. Good morning to you, too. Good news. President Bush, your new best friend, the peace president, has said it's okay for the United States to sell you arms. Yep. I know you've already got plenty, but you're going to buy some more. Lots more. Don't you think that's the least you can do for your good friends in the American military industry? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Shoot a tin can. Shoot in the air. Shoot at each other. Go ahead. As long as you're not shooting at us, we don't care. That's democracy. But you're going to buy our guns. That's business, my friend. Big business. The good news is that Iraq is already gun-friendly. I know. 3-day waiting period, try 3 minutes. Assault weapons ban, not in Fallujah. Concealed weapons, why not? Our goal is to make every family in Iraq at least a two-gun family. Yeah, you'll get a safe, secure feeling from having 2 pounds of badass American steel under your pillow. And the comforting knowledge that now that you're a proud American-made gun owner, we won't level your neighborhood for another week or so. Hey. Bye-bye now and buy guns. This is day 25 in Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. Ooh. There you go. Anonymous in Florida. Yes, how are you?
Good morning. You don't have the NRA in Iraq?
Yeah, right. That's, yeah. I'm sure that'll be the biggest chapter on the planet.
Guys, listen, I just found your show after y'all moved to Miami with 940.
Yeah. W-I-N-Z.
We're glad you did.
I was a big Randy Rhoads fan, and that's how I found you guys, by listening to her with 940, or with, you know, Air America.
Well, thanks for jumping
on. Love
the
show.
Thanks.
No, it's just ironic. I would love to have asked your guest about the Rush Limbaugh. Oops, I guess I wasn't supposed to say his name on the air.
That's all right.
We'll say Oxy Rush Limbaugh.
We can just say Limbaugh.
Yeah, that's him.
A-hole. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, his accusations that everyone that went in front of the 9/11 commission as a citizen was just a shield for the Republican Party.
No, Democrats, I think he's saying.
A shield for the Democrats, right.
Well, for the Democrats, I mean, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
To blast the, you know, the president and just make an embarrassment out of everything. I would love to have been able to hear his comments on the air.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you know,
by the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's the audacity of that fat man. Thank you for calling. I'm going to read the quote right now.
Wait a minute. Can you read it in that Rush Limbaugh sort of
trembling? I don't listen to him enough. But listen to this. I don't listen to Rush hardly at all. I can't even do an impression because I barely know what he sounds like. But he did say, I can now begin to take credit for some things that happened on this program on Friday. You remember the program opened with some audio examples that we had found of families, certain families members, 9/11 victims, all saying the same thing, and I cringed. I couldn't believe that the Democratic Party would sink this low to exploit and capitalize on the misery and loss of families, but they did it. They found a way, in fact, they found some family members, and I'm going to say this, they found some family members who seem to have more concern over who the president of this country is than over the sanctity of the loss of their own family members. Oh, you mean they care about democracy, and they realized that their family members were sacrificed on the altar of money and mistakes of the administration of this country, that they believed in democracy enough to make a choice to stand up against this president in light of the loss of their family? You know what? The audacity of these pompous bastards is mind-blowing. Thank you for the call.
Yes.
Carlos in Brooklyn.
What's up, Carlos?
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
You know, I've spoken personally with some family members of people who died, and I totally agree with Mr. McElvain. As I watch these hearings, the frustration and even astonishment mounted that the questions not answered, to this date, no one still has been even fired or reprimanded for this. And one of the worst examples, beyond the date with Condoleezza Rice, where my head almost blew open because they didn't ask her questions and she just talked and talked to wind down the clock, was Rudolph Giuliani. This guy chose to locate, spent billions of city dollars to locate the command center for the city in that building, which had already been bombed, where the fuel tanks, the energy for that building was on the 37th floor, and rather than asking him any questions at all, he's allowed to cover himself with glory. He's the big hero of the day. And nobody questions him about this. It's really that old boy club. Everybody's joking around and, you know, you cover me, I'll cover you. And if you really take a close look at what he did that day, what Bush did that day, so many unanswered questions. It's truly a tragedy.
Well, you know, Carlos, what's interesting about Giuliani's testimony was that the 9/11 families were the ones that really stood up and challenged the historic legacy of Rudy Giuliani's heroism. It was, in fact, the families of people who were lost in that attack who were the ones that jumped up and said, wait a minute, why did you locate that command center in that facility? Why weren't certain things done? Why didn't the fire department have the right radios? Why wasn't there better communication between the police and fire departments, which, by the way, is an argument that continues to reverberate now in New York City?
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Carlos. Appreciate it. You know, it was no far stretch for somebody as controlling and fascistically minded as Giuliani to step into the helm. You know, guys like him, in a sad, dark way, wait for moments like that to elevate themselves. It's something they do unconsciously.
Well, the other thing was, you know, Giuliani was a lame duck mayor going nowhere. He had just had a very public split with his wife. He had, all but admitted that he had kind of stepped out on her, announced that he was divorcing his wife, before he even told his wife. He told the press before he told Donna Hanover. And, you know, I mean, it was just a complete and utter mess. And 9/11 rescued his entire mayoralty at a certain point in terms of public perception. He suddenly became America's mayor. Suddenly people in Mexico and Trinidad and other places around the world asking for his expertise, when in fact the crime-fighting techniques that he used weren't even his to begin with.
Wow, man. You know, what a bust. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Service Dow Bob Report. I'm Jesse Russell. According to the Non-Governmental Bureau of National Affairs, unions won 58% of the 1,348 government-monitored workplace elections in 2003, the highest success rate for unions since BNA began watching them some two decades ago. Fewer union elections overall were held in 2003 compared to the year before, meaning that while the success rate is growing, the actual number of electoral victories are declining. This corresponds well to shrinking union membership rates in the overall workforce.
This Dow Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the union for the information age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
Hey, Grandma, what you listening to?
Sirius 61 Boombox, Jimmy.
What's a boombox?
Well, it's sort of that old-school party hip-hop like De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Rob Bass sort of sound, and then you mix it up with some breakbeat dance like Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, and Fat Boy Slim.
Grandma, what's a Fat Boy Slim?
I'll tell you when you're a little older.
The new boombox. Check it out on Sirius 61.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the E is used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now.
Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Yes. Hey, you guys, did you know? This is Mark Maron, by the way. That's Mark Riley.
Hey!
Tomorrow we're going to do a reading of The Pet Goat. That was the book that Bush was reading along with the second grade class. You know, when and after he was informed that the United States was under attack. We have it for you, exclusive, tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
A reading of The Pet Goat. Right now, the Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories, that and The Pet Goat. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present Rapture Watch. Listen up, Satan kissers. Believe it or not, the end is even nearer today than when it was this time last week. That's because the Attorney General of Mexico has implanted microchips in over 160 of his employees. Now they bear the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, 16, subsection 4, epilogue 8, a Quinn Martin production. Specifically states, quote, he who receiveth the mark, both great and small, rich and poor, shall be bonded of the devil and cast into hell. Or something like that. I'm just paraphrasing. So don't let anyone implant a microchip in your buttocks. Even if it's a reputable company like Montgomery Ward's wishing to improve customer service. All right? Don't do it. You'll go to hell. And item two, in the Mideast, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is telling the world's Jews to immigrate to Israel. Immediately. Now I got to move again. I just got this job, damn it. Now, if that's not a sign of the end times, what is? Fine. All right, good. I got to pack up my CDs again. Great. Thanks a lot, God. May you have mercy on us all. This has been Rapture Watch on Morning Sedition. I think we got a good segue into this next call. Frank in New Jersey, what's up?
Hey, Frank.
Hey. Yeah, I work with a 40-year-old evangelical Christian Jesus freak, and she's voting for Bush solely on the abortion issue. And I don't know if there's, like, anything I can, like...
Ooh, did we dump it?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay. It happens, buddy.
All right, cool.
It doesn't mean you can say it again.
Doesn't mean you can say it anymore.
Let's see if we can address that. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
So she worries about money. Well, that's certainly one thing he could try to sell her with, that this president is not good for making money, especially in menial jobs.
Well, yeah, and that's important because that just they released a report the other day that talked about the effect of the Bush tax cuts.
Yeah.
And it said, and where the recovery is benefiting.
Yeah.
And the recovery, such as it is benefiting rich people the most, people with incomes over $100,000. So if the caller's friend is having problems, making ends meet, it might well be because she didn't really benefit from this tax cut that the guy she's getting ready to vote for put through.
I don't know if that's going to do it. Because sometimes people lock on to this. So, you know, pro-choice or anti-choice, the thing is like, you know, obviously no one's comfortable with abortion, but people who are of an evangelical Christian bent, who are fanatics, their brain locks in on it in a way that, like, despite any other problems in their life, the only thing that becomes important to them is saving what they see as these children.
A single issue. Well, then let her vote for the Right to Life Party candidate.
Right. Absolutely.
Take votes away from Bush.
Yeah.
You know, if this is single, because Bush can't stop abortion. He can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't have that power as president. So if that's really your end game, then vote for the party that really has as its only agenda the ending of abortion.
And also, you could just tell her to inform herself.
Yeah, there you go. In the next hour of Morning Sedition, comedian Jim David joins us. Recovery Corner, and yes, more on the 9/11 Commission when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Uh-uh. big deal. My dad eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh, I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The new poll shows most Americans are now preoccupied with security issues and that President Bush no longer has a lock on voter support over national security. President in recent weeks has been touting America as a safer place because of his efforts to thwart terrorism. Bush now wants to be regarded as the president of peace, but a USA Today, CNN, and Gallup poll now reveals that most Americans are concerned about their security. Time was that Bush strategists felt that the president was a definite shoo-in because of the issue. Apparently, that is no longer the case. The poll numbers indicate that Bush and Democratic presidential rival John Kerry are evenly matched on the issue of voter comfort on the security issue. But Bush campaign strategist Matthew Dowd is hopeful that history will yield in favor of the president, since no president seeking re-election lost a contest in a wartime environment. History has also shown that no president with poll numbers below 50% 4 months before the election has ever come back to win a second term. Nonpartisan 9/11 Commissioner will finally release his long-awaited report on government's effort to combat terrorism before the attacks in 2001. Report is not a slam dunk for either leading political parties, as the commission placed a lot of blame over missteps, but the panel stopped short of assigning accountability to either the Bush or the Clinton administrations to stave off political sniping at the height of this this election year, that is. Not everyone is totally sanguine about the work of the commission and its findings. One of the parents of the victims of the 9/11 attacks is Bob McElvain. McElvain, a guest this morning on Air America's Mornings Edition, called the report one big cover-up.
Why are we trying so hard to protect the president?
Yeah.
And both presidents. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clinton, there was a lot of failures with Clinton. And, you know, now they just, I guess because it's a political year, and why do we have to be so partisan? I mean, why can't we have the truth in this country? And to me, the fact that they're not holding them accountable, it's just doing a disservice to democracy.
Bob McElvain, one of the parents who lost his son in the attack on the World Trade Center here in New York. Pitched battles between U.S. forces and insurgents have erupted in the Iraqi capital as well as Ramadi, west of Baghdad. U.S. Marines fighting in Ramadi killed 25 insurgents, injured 17, and captured 25 others. Military says most of the 14 U.S. service members who were wounded have returned to duty. Running gun battles on a downtown Baghdad street injured a police officer and another Iraqi. U.S. Army says the military operations are ongoing. Further details have not been provided. The area was the scene of deadly clashes earlier this month. Still unknown is the fate of a half dozen hostages held by terrorist elements in Iraq. Six are nationals of Kenya, India, and Egypt. Their captors are demanding their respective countries sever any business ties with the United States government. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
You know, I just can't start today without reading the green.
Green?
I know how you feel, but for me, I've got to have the purple.
Purple? You're all wrong. It's the red that you can't get along without.
Red? Green? Purple? What are you guys talking about?
USA Today.
Oh.
News, money, sports, life. Something for everyone. The new Sirius Radio special features from USA Today. Heard regularly on Sirius Right 142 and Sirius Left 143.
This is Earth and Sky. Impending global warming is posing a severe threat to our planet's coral reefs.
That's according to Joan Kleypas, a scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. She and her colleagues published a report earlier this year that looked at the effects climate change will have on coral.
Scientists once thought that global warming might be good for coral, which thrive in warm water. But the increases in sea surface temperature seem to be happening too fast for corals to adapt.
Coral bleaching is a stress response to excessive warming. In 1998, coral bleaching during an El Nino event killed over 15% of the coral reefs on planet Earth.
And as CO2 in the atmosphere increases from the burning of fossil fuels, some of it gets driven into the ocean. It makes ocean waters more acidic, slowing coral growth and making corals more fragile. Here's Dr. Kleypas.
In the background, occurring constantly at a very constant rate, is this change in seawater chemistry. But it is like the tortoise in this race. So you've got this slow-moving process of seawater chemistry change, which is just sort of creeping along in concert with changes in atmospheric CO2 concentrations.
Our thanks to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. It's crazy Thursday. It's like we're almost there, and we're not quite there yet.
Almost.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Here we are. It's been quite a morning already. We got Jim David coming up this hour, the very funny man. Oh, Jim David!
Yeah.
Who probably hates that impression of him. If you watch Tough Crowd, he's on there occasionally. He's been on Comedy Central Presents. Very funny guy. From the South. A bit gay.
A bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, that's all right. I'm saying that in a nice way. You know what I mean? He talks about it. We can talk about it. And we've got the liberal agenda coming up. President's Palm Pilot's coming up. Probably do that in the right time slot this hour. The 6 o'clock hour is a fog to me right now. A fog.
2 hours ago. Should be a fog.
Man. So now I've been following this story for 2 days. Chicken Abu Ghraib is not a dish. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a dish you order at a restaurant, an Iraqi restaurant. Can I have chicken Abu Ghraib? No. No, what it is a poultry processing plant fired 11 workers on Wednesday, a day after animal rights group released a secretly shot video of workers kicking, stomping, and smashing chickens against walls at the West Virginia facility. Pilgrim's Pride, a supplier for KFC chicken restaurant, said three of those fired at its plant in Moorefield were managers and eight were hourly workers. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? You see how this is playing out? Quote, we will continue with this investigation until we're confident that every employee, regardless of rank. Now, this is a chicken manufacturer who is willing to take responsibility. All right? They're going to go right to the top with this. They're not going to stop at privates. You know, they're going to find the bastards who instigated a policy that let these guys beat up these chickens, pull their beaks off, spray paint their faces, kick them around like chickens. I mean, like balls. Like bouncing balls, not those guys. All right. The board op was like, what?
What? Do I have to bleep that?
Which kind of ball? You know, the kind that you kick in the kickball game. You got it. All right. No, but obviously it's bad that they were mistreating the chickens. But, you know, unlike our administration, you know, the people at Pilgrim's Pride are going to take it right to the top. I don't know. I think the guy who's talking might go down.
Heads rolled, though.
All it takes is one guy to say, look, it's okay to pull the beaks off them.
Yeah.
Yeah, before everyone's doing it.
So these people just, like, had bad days and did this? Is that it? They came in and...
Well, here's
you know,
the group said its investigator also obtained eyewitness testimony about employees ripping birds' beaks off, spray painting their faces, yeah, twisting their heads off, spitting tobacco into their mouths and eyes. It's awful. and breaking them in half, all while the birds were still alive. Now, here's the quote that you're talking about that I will refer to. In cases where workers are paid so little, who's saying, this is Michael McGraw, he's a PETA spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
In cases where workers are paid so little and they really do have terrible jobs, they tend to take out their frustrations on the animals. All right? Modern technology can actually be more humane than the human element because of the human element's feelings. And these are, you know, these aren't good jobs.
No.
And
no.
A lot of them, if you read Fast Food Nation, Schlosser's book, Eric Schlosser's book, which changed my life. For some reason, I'm just going to throw a free plug out there for Fast Food Nation. But a lot of people know.
Yeah.
I think it was also sort of the foundation for Super Size Me in some weird way, the movie. But it's one of those books when he talks about the meat industry specifically and the heinous working conditions and also the filth of the meatpacking industry and the way that they hire workers who don't have health coverage, who don't, you know, get paid a decent wage, you know, who are not, you know, at the top of the sort of social pecking order.
Yeah, work 80 hours, no overtime.
I mean, they're going to get a little upset, and they're going to take it out on the chickens, which is wrong, okay? You can't walk around. It's like the guy who kicks his dog. You know, it's a trickle-down effect. Do you know what I mean? A guy is at work, and the employer says, you can't have a raise, and we're not giving you health coverage. So that guy goes home, you know, and beats his wife up.
Yeah.
And the wife then goes and kicks her kid's ass, okay? All right, and then he goes to work and steps on a chicken. You see who pays? The chickens. The chickens are paying for the world's problems. And I think that out of the fundamental disrespect we have for the animal kingdom, just because we can't get on our own crap together, is horrendous.
Do you have one of those snare drum cymbal things? I'm about to tell a joke. The chickens are at the bottom of the pecking order.
Oh, no, all they got is a drum roll.
Oh, well.
And that doesn't work.
That's not work. No, that doesn't work with that.
It's not the same as a rim shot, because then you'd literally be building up to that, which is like, you know, the chickens. I said the chickens are at
the bottom of the pecking order.
Anyways.
You know what really does trigger a lot of these workers? I'm going to tell you what triggers them. These guys, you know, they have, in processing plants, whether it's food or whatever, there's a certain amount that they expect people, a certain level of productivity that they expect people to reach, right?
Yeah.
When they raise that productivity level without raising the wage, it's like, you ever see Modern Times with Charlie Chaplin?
Sure.
All right. Well,
you end up that guy.
Yeah, you end up that guy. You end up having to do more work for the same money in less time, and suddenly it starts building and building and building, and I guess rather than bring a gun in and shoot your coworkers, maybe your boss is giving you the trouble, they take it out on the chickens.
Going to spit on a chicken.
Yeah.
Spit
tobacco in a chicken's eye.
Spit on a chicken.
I hope that one never ends up on my
plate. Amazing. Riley just did a movie reference, and of course it's like 60 years old.
What?
It's a guy who never goes to the movies, and it's like in Modern Times, which I saw when it came out when I was a child.
That's right.
It was the last movie I went to. When I went, it was great.
It is a great movie. And, I mean, things really haven't changed that much. That's what it really boils down to. When you go to these different places, Jesse Jackson did a whole thing at these chicken processing plants a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, these workers are making absolutely nothing. Most of them are African-American. If you go down south to the different chicken processing places, they work in awful, awful condition.
And the payoff for the chicken, not great either.
Not great. Not great at all, that's for sure.
You get to be a sandwich. You get to be in a bucket.
Yeah. And have bread, you know, splattered on you, then put in a brazier for 10 hours.
And consumed by a stoned guy who doesn't even appreciate what you went through, doesn't know that that leg of tender chicken meat covered in maybe the barbecue sauce style deep fried chicken or extra crispy or spicy was once, you know, part of a bird that put up with, you know, tobacco spit because some guy was mad over the way he's treated by his employer. You see how the world gets polluted and corrupted? Man, what a poignant and powerful story this is. I wish we should be on NPR with this. That's how powerful this pecking order story is. And that's what would be called on NPR, the pecking order.
The pecking order. When we come back.
And then you'd have that weird sort of like, you know, hypnotic music behind it. And it would get real pithy at some point. And then there'd be a point where they'd have a testimonial. It's like, when I saw them beating up on the chicken, I felt bad for the chickens. And I work here and I kill chickens too. But then what they were doing, these chickens were just terrible.
Well, look, folks, today it's chickens. Tomorrow, it's goats.
That's right. My pet goat.
We're going to read it. Mark Maron's going to read it.
I'm sorry, the pet goat.
The pet goat. Oh, it's not, my, not even my pet, no possession here?
No, we're doing a reading of the pet goat, which was being read to President Bush by a second grade class when he was told that the attacks on the Trade Center had begun, and he sat there and listened to the pet goat. So I think bloggers, conspiratorial people, let's start speculating now. Let's talk about the symbology of the goat in all its many areas.
They're almost at the bottom of the pecking order.
No, but they're not going to take no spit from nobody. Not a goat.
Not a goat. Goat
so,
will warn you.
I guess we're going to come back and talk about important things, because I can hear that guy out there somewhere in the world going, why aren't they talking about the issues?
Okay, the 9/11 report, is that what you're talking about?
We're fighting for our lives here.
Is that the issue?
Yes. We're going to talk about it when we come back here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. Smoke RX has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, Smoke RX is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, Smoke RX starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Hey, Grandma, what you listening to?
Sirius 61 Boombox, Jimmy.
What's a boombox?
Well, it's sort of that old-school party hip-hop like De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Rob Bass sort of sound. And then you mix it up with some breakbeat dance like Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, and Fatboy Slim.
Grandma, what's a Fatboy Slim?
I'll tell you when you're a little older.
The new boombox. Check it out on Sirius 61.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes,
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Immunizations prevent children from getting dangerous diseases like measles, polio, and mumps. But too many children aren't getting the immunizations they need. Parents can protect their children against 10 preventable childhood diseases in about 6 visits to the doctor, and most of them should happen before the child's 2 years old. So don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, call 1-800-232-2522. 1-800-232-2522.
It's like, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Like, I am, like, talking here on the radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning's Edition on Air America. And a blogger says, come on, Mark, why are you making light of animal cruelty? See, this is the kind of weird reactionary hypersensitivity that is ridiculous. And I'm, may I say, no, I'm not going to say that. All right? I'm not going to say retarded because it's not right. All right? But as you'll notice, in light of my joke and in light of the comparison, the satirical comparison to Abu Ghraib, which was joking, I made note that, you know, Eric Schlosser's book, very important, good read, very informative. I think we made a pretty decent stand for the way workers are treated within animal plants. I think we made a pretty good stand for the chicken, though it was a little funny. It was comedic, though. I think we stood up for the chicken. I think we covered all ends, yet all somebody heard was, now, are they making fun of the hurting the animals? You know what? Shut it. You know, it's like, come on. You know, a lot of good information was put through there, and a lot of sensitivity was put through there, but, you know, God forbid, you know, as a liberal reactionary person, that you couch it in a little bit of humor, because that somehow denies it its significance, yet all that information got through nonetheless.
It wasn't funny!
Yeah, maybe they should change the filter on their head. All right. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
No, you're not.
Why don't you
I was about to say, no, you're not. Why should you be?
When I try and do a sort of, you know, balanced sort of, like, look at something and make it a little funny, a little touching, a little this, a little that, and make, and also taking a shot at NPR on top of it.
Listen,
you know,
I am
speaking for the chicken and the consumer of the chicken, the worker, and also the people at the top.
Right.
Here we go. I'm screwing up the Palm Pilot. There's some. I've got some Palm Pilot block in my head. I just got this 2 hours ago. Ramon. You know what? I'm out in them. Ramon in the Oval Office. That's it. Here's the president's schedule. 7 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I'm a peace president until we get to Iran. Woo! 9:50 a.m. Sign Law Enforcement Safety Act. Give presidential medal to first 20 cops who have ever arrested me for DWI. 12 noon. Fly to Illinois. Remember, Lincoln was a great Republican president in spite of that whole freeing the slaves thing. Oh, follow up to the NAACP snuff there.
Right.
We're finding a little more out about this guy. 3:20 p.m. Tour Northeastern Public Training Academy, Glenview, Illinois. Tell the disaster response cops and firefighters that they're so good that I'm tempted to allow another terrorist catastrophe just to watch them in action. Creepy.
Oops.
3:40 p.m. Speech about Homeland Security to disaster response police and firefighters. Drop this into speech. Quote, I've just been informed that the terror level has been raised to red, end quote. Then watch them scatter. Woohoo! 5:35 p.m. Speak at private fundraising dinner. Winnetka, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Say this, quote, I'm proud to be among such patriotic Americans. Your generosity will help us create some of the most vicious attack ads in history. God bless you. End quote. 8 p.m. Arrive back in Washington. Casually flip through 9/11 commission report. Hey, there's my name. Oh, there it is again. Wow, lots of words. Getting drowsy. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline, quote, warehouse containing all 9/11 commission evidence burns in freak fire. Unquote.
By the way, you're going to see more of this.
That was a deep sigh.
Sigh?
Yeah.
You're going to see more of George W. Bush wrapping his arms around firefighters, rescue workers, emergency medical technicians, all of that. In the run-up to the Republican convention, watch how many times.
Okay. Come here, fellas. It wasn't our fault. It was that dirty tenant. Come here.
Yeah.
Give me a hug. Congress, out of my hands. Can't even name names. Just Congress.
That's why it's so important to hear about the pet goat.
Oh, the pet goat's very important. And there's even, you know, there's some speculation. We didn't go into detail, and I didn't bring it up with our guest last hour, Mr. McElmain.
Oh, Bob McElmain, yeah.
The father of a victim. In 9/11, that they're going to, it said in one of these sources we have, in one of these reports, that some of the Saudi stuff is going to be debunked a little bit, and I don't know how that's possible.
What's, you mean that the Saudis...
Funding terrorists.
Look, the American government's been saying this. This is not new.
I mean, there were definitely solid reports that the Saudis, through charities, funded Islamic terrorism.
When Bush first went on the warpath after 9/11, there was a whole thing with some Saudi diplomat's wife who supposedly was funding a terrorist organization. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Bush was jumping around, you know, the administration was screaming. They, in several cases, froze the assets of groups here in the United States. They had a list. I remember seeing a list of different organizations that they said had somehow raised money for terrorists. They were on a warpath about this.
Yeah,
I'll
tell you, that guy really, I found it very moving to talk to him because it really has become apparent that this is like the only, practically the only bipartisan thing that's happened within this administration and during this time is that these guys sort of shirk their responsibility a little bit in following it to the top and making this president take responsibility that they were threatened. I mean, you know, this is a president that did not want this commission to happen. He did everything he could to make it more difficult. He, you know, in spite of pressure from Congress, the press, and 9/11 families, Bush did not agree to create a commission until over a year after 9/11. The Bush administration handpicked Henry Kissinger to run the commission. Picking Henry Kissinger to run anything and not think it's going to be suspect is as bad as having John Negroponte be the ambassador to Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worse.
Which
it's
he
worse.
Is, by the way.
Because Negroponte probably worked for Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is...
At some point in time.
This is what scares Bush about this commission.
Yeah.
That this is going to cause... This commission's report, if, you know, the reports about what is in it are true, it's going to call into question one, at least one, if not more, of Bush's rationales for going into Iraq. The whole question of whether or not Bush should have been, in fact, taking a longer look at Iran is going to come out here.
Right.
You know, the conclusion of the commission was that Al-Qaeda had the ties not to Iraq, but to Iran. Now, assuming that there was intelligence to that effect, and assuming that the intelligence got to the president, why the focus on Iraq? Now, we know the answer, because there was a neoconservative cabal within the administration that pointed this guy from the day he said, yeah, I will, or whatever the last part of the swearing-in ceremony was, they pointed him toward Iraq.
Basically, in the neoconservative Pax Americana, the manifesto of the neoconservative agenda in the world is to knock out the rulers of Iraq, Iran, Syria, mm-hmm. you know, consolidate all the oil business they can in the region, detach from Saudi Arabia, which I find very surprising,
yeah.
given who is president. But these guys, you know, that was the plan. It was the plan before 9/11, and they just used it as a window. They didn't even finish the business in Afghanistan.
They had a plan before George Bush became president. Remember, they sent Clinton a letter. Some of these same guys sent Clinton a letter saying, look, you need to go after Iraq. Saddam Hussein is, running roughshod over the sanctions. He's got nuclear, he's trying to get nukes. The whole nine is the same rationale. And the fact of the matter is that rationale has been shattered by this report. Even if they don't blame Bush directly, even if they just, let the intelligence communities take the heat for it. The fact of the matter is they blew away a central pillar in the, superstructure that allowed us to go to Iraq by Bush's rationale. He's going to have a very difficult time trying to convince the American people that he is a successful prosecutor in the war on terror.
He's calling
if he can't get this stuff right.
Exactly. He's calling himself the winner of two wars. He's calling himself the tough president, but he's no longer. Let's just get this clear.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
Yeah, well, that's not clear right now. But what is clear, according to us for the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
according today by Kofi Annan of the United Nations, that, it's not safer. The world is not safer. There's no indication on any level that since this war on terror that we are any safer in any way. And I can't, what baffles me is coming out of this 9/11 commission, all this talk about, putting someone in charge of the intelligence community,
yeah.
within having an office within the White House, but not a cabinet member, but not really creating a new agency that would bring the two together, because they don't want that. They think that they're both doing, they still compete. They're still going
yeah.
to compete. But where is the talk about creating a global intelligence network? I mean, can't we all get on the same page? Are there countries that really can't, outside of Iran, obviously, and the Muslim countries that are Muslim rule, shouldn't we get to a point in this history, in the history of this planet, of civilized people, where we have a global intelligence network that is against this type of terrorist activity? Why can't they put that into play?
Because they blew it unilaterally going into Iraq in the first place. That's why they can't put it together. The Europeans have no interest in doing this after the faulty intelligence that both Bush and Blair either fell for or helped disseminate. They got no use for these people. They don't want to. Look at Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan waits 48 hours and says, you know what? Bush is full of crap.
Yeah.
The world isn't a safer place,
yeah.
and I should know. I'm the U.N. Secretary General. I represent more than just one country.
And also, I realized something that what I just said, could be depicted as something said out of, complete irrational fear, and it almost feels like a yearning for global domination in some respect, a yearning for the coming of the beast. But look, all I'm saying is that if this is, a legitimate threat, somehow we have to either start negotiating and start to figure out how we can do this and live in this world together with everybody, or else this, this president is going to drag us into a holy war that they want. They want this president. This guy has given them what they want. Confidence, more numbers, and cohesion. We'll be back after. Oh, it's. Why don't you take it?
Still to come, comedian Jim David and you on the phones here on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Arrowtown, for free. O.T. Arrowtown is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraqi insurgents continue to hold six hostages from three different countries. They threaten to behead each one once every 72 hours if their respective countries fail to accede to their demands to withdraw their nationals from Iraq. Critics are calling it another sign of military stress. Army has been forced to order more new recruits and immediately place them into the ranks to meet goals for 2004 instead of allowing them to defer entry until the next accounting year. Apparently, the Bush White House knew of the Justice Department's investigation of former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger and the removal of documents from the National Archives very early in the probe. And a final report on the 9/11 Commission is released later today. President Bush has already received a copy. Members of Congress got a sneak preview in addition to media leaks earlier this week. Commission concluded that another national agency should be formed to handle the issue of intelligence in the United States. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is Earth and Sky. Yesterday we talked about streams and rivers in New England that are flowing earlier now every spring. Warmer temperatures seem to be a driving force.
Iris Stewart Fry is a climate researcher at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography. She and her colleagues have documented shifts in the timing of stream flow and snowmelt runoff in rivers across western North America. They've determined that runoff timing has shifted 10 to 30 days earlier each spring over the last 50 years.
According to Stuart Fry, warmer temperatures throughout western North America are triggering the earlier snow melts and stream flows. What's more, Stuart Fry used a widely accepted climate model to predict what the rivers will do for the next 100 years if greenhouse gases are not reduced. The model predicted that snow melt runoff and stream flow of many rivers across the western U.S. will come another 30 to 40 days earlier than now.
When streams flow earlier, it's more difficult to store water, and that's a critical issue in the drought-ridden western U.S. Earlier flow means short supplies and longer drought periods, since reservoirs are more likely to run dry earlier in the summer season. For more about global warming and streams, come to today's show at earthsky.org.
Thanks today to the U.S. Geological Survey and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Blockin' Bird for Earth and Sky.
Let it be known that if I do eat chicken, it's only kosher chicken. To end some of the strange speculating, I got my head up the blog today. And there are Jewish chickens, there are kosher chickens, which are better because They are allowed to grow at their own pace. They are butchered in a way that allows them flavor. Most chickens are abused before they even get abused by the workers at the chicken plant. They are shot up with steroids. They are grown like plants.
Most of them are raised in a mailbox.
That's Jim
yeah,
David.
Absolutely.
Jim David is here.
Hey,
comedian,
Jim. Good morning, guys.
Comedian, provocateur, star of his own Comedy Central Presents. Will be on Colin Quinn's Tough Crowd on Monday. I was just there the other day.
How is it now that they took the chairs away?
Well, you know, it's a little awkward.
I don't like that.
It makes me too intense.
I want to, yeah. Well, why does he have it so that we're standing up? Why can't we sit down like normal, you know?
He thought it wasn't raw and uncomfortable enough.
Oh, fine.
Edgy.
Yeah, exactly.
Edgy.
He really wanted to throw everybody for a curve. I don't know. He thinks it'll engage people more. I had a problem on the show because I got into something with Wayne Fetterman because he just annoyed me. I don't even know why. I don't know the guy. He got up my, got stuck in my car.
That happens on that show.
Yeah, it does, right?
No kidding.
Yeah, I've seen you. Like, there was a show, you did a show where you were talking about some of your early gay experiences where, literally, Jim, I don't get uncomfortable. I was watching it, and I was like, oh, my God, that's a lot of information.
Yeah, I know. What they were asking about, the topic was premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
And he was asking about our premature ejaculation experiences.
Yeah, all right.
You know, mine involved that. And so I went there. It made people just sort of, the whole panel was looking at me like, oh my God, where's it going to go?
Well, they had no, it's like, it was a great moment because all these guys, we all know each other for years, right? Mm-hmm. And they all know Jim's gay, but they didn't know how gay.
They didn't know. For graphic
they
gay.
Were not. Exactly. They were not prepared for the depth of the problem.
Well, you know, this has really turned out to be quite a strange little half hour. We got goats, chickens, premature ejaculation. What's next?
Lance Armstrong's testicles. Now you were just reading. You were just talking.
I read. My world is shattered.
Yeah,
because I read. I was just on vacation. I was in Europe. I was on the Rhine River.
Where'd you go?
I was on a cruise on the Rhine River.
You went on a cruise on the Rhine. Wait, let's talk about the book in a minute. So you were just in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. I had Belgium and Amsterdam and Cologne, Germany, and about five little towns in Germany, and then Switzerland.
You got any good diary entries? Any observations?
A lot of castles in Germany and a lot of unemployed barons, like, waiting for an Inquisition.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is that in front of the castles are all mobile homes.
Uh-huh.
They have, I'm swear to God, they have all these trailer parks down on the side of the river.
Which really?
It's like a summer retreat.
Yeah,
they have all these people with their homes their knockwurst.
So the class structure really hasn't changed since the Catholic. It used to just be shanties and people cooking over urns.
That's right, that's right.
It's actual trailers.
That's right.
That's hilarious.
But I was reading Lance Armstrong's book on the boat, and it was very inspiring, and it's like how he came up from cancer, and then he's got a whole chapter on his wife.
Right.
And what a great, her name is Kit.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful woman and this and that and the other thing and how,
couldn't have done it without her.
Couldn't have done it with, I mean, he didn't do it without her. I mean,
right.
She stood by him and,
uh-huh.
you know, he wanted to quit and she said, well, whatever you do is fine, honey.
Right.
And then she went and lived in Europe and she learned how to speak French and mm-hmm. she did everything and then she bore him, you know, several children through the artificial insemination that he had banked. He had banked
his sperm banked.
He sperm banked before he became impotent because of the chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Put that stuff in the pocket.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to do that just to have some.
It would just be nice to put it.
No,
we don't have to do this. We don't have to do this.
Yes, we do.
All I know is I'm wasting a lot.
That's
all
right.
My wife's not here.
But we're talking
to Jim Davis.
And then I read in the paper when I get back, Miss Sheryl Crow is cheering him on. And I went, what was this inspiring story that I just read? And he left her for, you know, all I want to do is have some fun. So, you know, why not? I guess so.
You know what I hate about Sheryl Crow?
What?
Is that I can sing to her songs.
You must want to kill Julie Andrews.
Well, you just fight. I don't think I can sing a Julie Andrews song. I think that, you know, that's where we and you are on different sides.
You can sing Doe, a Deer, a Female Deer.
I could sing that.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Anybody can.
But there are certain people where, like, Elton John. Like, Elton John, I can sing every Elton John song. And they're, like, in the deepest part of your brain. They're never coming out. I don't know.
Those are
Yeah.
This is your song.
Right. Those are much more complex songs than the Sheryl Crow songs, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't see why you're bothered by Sheryl Crow is very, very simple.
I'm just bothered that so much of my brain is taken up by useless crap that I don't need. You see, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and for no reason, it's almost as if there's a classic hit station that goes into my brain. And for no reason, I'll just be singing, "Ain't it funny how the night moves?" You know, like, where does that come from?
Or you know what I'll get in my head is a lyric that I got wrong originally. Like, "That would be ecstasy, you and me and Leslie." Man. You know, I always thought it was you and me and Leslie. You know, Eddie Brill does a whole routine about all the mistaken thing, and that may even be one that he uses, but I remember it.
Eddie Brill also does a big bit about the phone book, the yellow pages. You know, we're meant to, it's great. We haven't had him on the show. Hang out a minute. We're going to take some calls for Jim Dave. We're going to talk about gay marriage when we come back. We're lightening things up here in the last half hour, so give us a call at 866-303-2270, and we'll talk to you here on Air America Radio.
He was the bad boy of tennis. On the court, he was opinionated, passionate, and emotional. And now John McEnroe's bringing it all to Sirius at CNBC. Each weeknight, the Wimbledon champ serves up his spin on the day's news, entertainment, sports, music, and he'll even throw in a few laughs. McEnroe, Monday through Friday at 10 Eastern on Sirius CNBC 101.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-upped for military service, was rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's those words?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
you. For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep apologizing today.
You're not sorry. Come on.
It's Mark Maron. No, that's Mark Riley. Jim David, the comedian.
Hey.
From the South.
Hey.
Is it like you're the Southern comedian, people say?
Well, so on some days I am.
I am Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And it's time for Recovery Corner. And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I'm offering my counsel to my sponsee, George W. Okay, George, listen. I am still stunned by your peace president comment.
I want to be the peace president.
See, I know you're confused. You're scrambling for votes, and you want to please people. But remember, George W., feelings aren't facts. Here's a feeling.
I want to be the peace president.
Here's a fact. Here's a fact.
I'm a war president.
See, before you act on your feelings and say something you don't really mean, call your sponsor. I'm here, buddy. And you also have the staff, the entire military-industrial complex, billions of dollars and hundreds of nuclear weapons at your disposal. Man. Now you mention it, I'm going to call my sponsor. You're giving me a bad feeling right now, and it's called fear, and that's a fact. Remember, buddy, keep the plug in the jug. First things first, bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. If you got one foot in yesterday and the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Get to a meeting, buddy, and don't drink. How do you like that? Hey, a couple things I want to say. Read Sidney Blumenthal's piece in Salon.com today. It's called Backdraft. It's about John Kerry's history as a prosecutor and as a young senator and how he was the first guy to really start to unfold the Iran-Contra scandal, which a lot of people don't know. Some good information in that. Jim Davis.
What Iran-Contra scandal, they will say.
Yes.
What, did you notice how when Reagan died, not one word about the Iran-Contra scandal was...
We did all day here.
You did?
Yeah,
of course. Well, nobody else did. And I mean, none of the major networks did. CNN didn't say anything.
They tried very hard to attach Bush to the dead Reagan. And they were really thinking about changing the ticket and running just, Bush and the corpse of
Reagan.
And that didn't... That didn't change.
Weekend at Bernie. Is a kind of a ticket.
Well, the family detachment, Nancy and Ron Jr. were really just sort of like, ain't gonna happen.
Ain't gonna have it. Mm-mm.
So do you think this gay marriage issue is just a smokescreen? It's just BS? It's a provoking a culture war?
I think it's a very, very real thing, unfortunately. The problem is that I think, personally, it's the cart before the horse. I think it's a little too soon, too much too soon.
Premature?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. I think it's going to happen.
Of course,
Right now, and some people are going to argue with me, and they're going to say, oh, but civil rights does not stop for a vote. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And we can't wait until the people are ready because, the people were not really ready for civil rights in 64 whenever they did whatever.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
They were not ready for it. But the thing about, I'm just talking culturally, it's like we are barely ready for gay dating.
Well, we were just talking about that appearance on Tough Crowd. It's like, to see those guys listen to you be honest about a gay experience was hilarious.
Yeah, it's really funny. Because I was just talking like normal. Yeah. Like to me, it's like, what's the problem?
But they're so tight. yeah, it was great. You really got them.
Oh, yeah.
You think they're scared?
Of course. Duh. Well, I mean, it's like their lifestyle is threatened. Whenever people react this violently to something, it's because, like, for example, the people that reacted violently to the civil rights struggle were like theoretically in favor of civil rights, but just not next door. Don't have the black folks move in next door, for heaven's sakes.
But is their lifestyle threatened, or is there their little secret threatened?
Well, it's either.
That's what I was
in many cases. I just wrote an article that was in The Advocate about a month ago, which was about a guy came up to me after a show in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm not really, a gay comedian. My gay material is a grand, like, 2 or 3 minutes worth.
What's your one-man show
45, South Pathetic.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm doing that in L.A. in August, on August the 11th. But, that's about the worst community theater in the South, so that's not really anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I just do a few jokes about it, me and my partner and stuff like that, how much I hate the word partner, which I hate. It sounds like we're a couple of lesbians in Cape Cod who have a yarn store. Like, you're my partner. This guy came up to me after the show, and he was just telling me how incredible he thought that I was out of the closet, and then he confides in me that lives in Arkansas and is literally out to nobody, and the only people that he acknowledges that he's gay are the people that he meets at 2 a.m. behind the rest stop in the woods.
And they probably already know.
Then they have a pretty good idea. But then but none of his friends know, none of his family, none of his parents. And I maintain that until all of those people are at least out to a few people, real progress is not going to happen. No matter how many laws you enact, and no matter how many celebrities get up and talk about it,
it's also the difference between, you know, urban culture and rural culture.
Yeah, too many people who are just not. I mean, I met these guys.
If you don't have a community to support you, I mean, you're not going to feel very safe.
That's right. And so, in other words, I mean, I think until we get to that point where people are not petrified to come out in their own hometown,
right,
then maybe gay marriage will be a but see, now it's like people are like, gay marriage, I mean, we don't even have gay dating.
We got politicians who are petrified to say the word gay.
Of course they are. Well, George Bush has never said it.
No,
never. I mean, when he was just talking, he says, you know, I believe, you know, when he's talking about the gay marriage, and he said, I believe that people are entitled to do what they want as consenting adults in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah,
but we have to preserve the sanctity of marriage.
He probably did say that. You said preserve it, but you're probably quoting him properly. We're talking to Jim David, the comedian.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, a lot of the Democrats ran from this gay marriage ban thing like they were Republicans. Like, we can't talk about this. This is going to cost us votes in the swing states.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are afraid to, even though a lot of them do support it off the record.
So why don't they just get up and say, I'm not scared to say I support gay rights.
Because the opposition can still say, well, he does not see, I watched all of the,
but they blocked the amendment, right? So they did stand up on some level.
They didn't block the amendment. I mean, I watched them talking and I was very disappointed. I sat and watched C-SPAN for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I never watched that. You know, but watching the Senate talk is like, you know, listening to paint dry.
Yeah.
You know, and I was watching them, and none of the senators said anything that was pro-gay at all. Their whole argument was, don't we have better things to talk about? People are dying in Iraq, and don't we have this, and this is a waste of time, and this is a political wedge issue.
Right.
But none of them, until Ted Kennedy got up and said, you know, gay Americans deserve the same rights that everybody else has. And I was like, well, thanks, Ted. I mean, thanks for coming around the corner and saving us.
It takes the one guy who's got nothing to lose.
That's right.
Him and Senator Byrd.
I know. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a second after this break on Air America Radio with Jim Davis.
Do you ever wonder why you seem to pay more in taxes than rich people with smart accountants? Do you ask yourself, what's wrong with our tax system? Well, here's a reality check. Taxes on wages and salaries are much higher than taxes on income from investments. People who are so rich that they don't have to work pay the federal government only a sliver of their dividends and capital gains. By comparison, working people owe a much larger share of their hard-earned income in taxes. Someone who makes $50,000 from working pays more than 3 times the taxes of someone who makes $50,000 from investments. That is just not fair. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for fixing the tax system so that working Americans get a fair deal. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Venti with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in it.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hello.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the App Council.
Thank you all. I'm Mark Maron, Mark Riley, Jim David, the comedian, is here. You're right. I made a promise about the word retarded. I made a promise that I've broken. I will try to get back on track with that. I've got a problem. It slips back into conversation with me. Quickly, I want to read a little bit of spam poetry. This is the stuff at the bottom of your spam emails. Here's one. They're not even haikus. How about acrobatic at that moment? That's it. Here's one. How about this? Tardy anyone, cortisone Carthage, inflammatory DeForest, gin mill, inclement.
Sounds like a question on the SAT.
Sounds like the new RPM song.
I heard this woman on a cell phone last night that sounded like haiku, because she was going, okay, and he's like, Denise, and I'm like, yeah, and then he's like, what? And I'm like, okay. You know, I mean, it was that kind of a thing.
And did all the men with the bird in the tree sat?
No.
Something like that.
They all ended up with, like, what?
What? Right. So it's kind of a mall-style haiku.
Exactly.
So you're out on the road.
That's right.
You're doing the stand-up.
Indeed.
And how is it being received, your anti-Bush message?
It's not so much a message as it is a subtle hint, you know. I mean,
I've never known you to be a subtle man.
That's true. But it's not. The interesting thing is that this last year, in a place like Las Vegas, which is, I bring up Las Vegas because it's really middle, I mean, it's really the most mixed audience. Of every type.
Yeah. Really? And,
yeah. Vegas is.
Yeah. Racially, too? I hate Vegas.
I love it. I think it's great.
Did you hear what happened with Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that
didn't happen to you.
Much. No.
Yeah. So what did it?
No, but what happened was last year, before the war, I got booed. And people would wait outside for me after the show.
Uh-oh.
And this year, they're laughing. With the exact same jokes, like a joke like last week George Bush outlined his plan for post-war Iraq,
yeah.
Then he colored it,
yeah,
you know,
right,
like last year, right after the war, I did that joke and half the audience really laughed and then the other half would boo me,
yeah,
and like boo,
yeah.
This year, they all laugh and it seems like I haven't gotten any negative response. It's interesting.
Well, you know what that means? It means maybe the brainwashing is wearing off.
It could be.
That all that stuff that came out of fear,
yeah.
You know, that they sort of exploited 9/11 to, you know, put themselves in a position to maintain power and scare the hell out of everybody. Maybe some people are starting to see through that.
Well, when you have day after day of report of people taken hostage in Iran, in Iraq, and all of the nonsense that's going on there, that speaks a lot more strongly than anything that I could say.
And this.
I'm a war president. I want to be the peace president. I'm a war president.
How about
president?
The flip-flopping problem?
I want to be the peace president.
I mean, he accuses, you know, Kerry of being a flip-flopper, and Kerry's just a good senator who's, you know, who's been part of creating a lot of...
You know what? I don't get this flip-flop nonsense. Anyway, are these guys not allowed to change their mind?
No.
That's not
what flip-flopping is, though. Bush will change his mind in order to politicize things. He will change his mind to accommodate polls and to accommodate whoever he thinks will give him the advantage.
Right.
What they're accusing Kerry of is that as a legislature, certain bills evolve.
Yeah.
And one version of a bill is going to be different than another one, so you vote differently.
Yeah.
That's not flip-flopping. That's an evolving piece of legislation.
That's called government.
Right.
Yes.
So what they're accusing him of is very different than what George Bush actually does, which is change his tune every time he thinks he's losing.
The only joke that still may get boos that I do is when I say, George Bush may be the stupidest man ever to be in the White House, and that includes people on the tour.
Wow.
And then I do things like, and then I say, you know, you've got somebody in charge of history who knows nothing about history. You know, he thinks that the Louisiana Purchase is a hooker in New Orleans.
He thinks
that the Magna Carta is just a really big carta.
All right, there's your liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Tomorrow we're going to have a little activity you guys can do to contact the Kentucky GOP. We're also going to read my pet goat.
Yes.
But here's the liberal agenda for today. One, prepare for next week's convention in Boston. Add to list of banned items at the Fleet Center. Bad vibes.
Two, organized support group for pets left behind by Democratic delegates. Explore abandonment issues.
Aww.
Three, organized Revolutionary War memorial for unsung Minute Women. Four, make sure Boston police only use ozone-friendly tear gas during riots.
There you go. Yes.
And five, today's phrase, just drop it into any conversation. Quote, look for a big surprise Thursday night when President Kucinich speaks. End quote.
Beer in the headlights.
Right.
There you go. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning tradition, for the first time, all of America will be able to hear the story that Bush sat through on September 11th. The pet goat. Uncut on tomorrow's morning tradition here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Bye.